and welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you on this Monday morning. Can't believe it's already November 2025. We got a lot to talk about today. We got a heck of a lot to talk about today, and not a lot of time to talk about it. Crew was like, so 100 videos, huh? You got over 100 videos today? I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, how are you going to have time to play that? I'm like, oh, there's no way. No, there's absolutely no way. No, we've got three guests today. I've got three guests and 100 videos and not enough time to do it all. So we're going to be joined by Naomi Zeipt in the second hour. We're going to be joined by Ian Wendt and Ian Carroll in the third hour. We're going to do a little roundtable about Charlie Kirk. And I imagine Israel is going to come up as a topic. In fact, it's going to have to be a topic today, too. I know Alex already spent 3 hours today talking about Israel, but more has developed while he was on air. Ben Shapiro put out an entire episode just showing Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes clips out of context. So we're going to go through that and talk about that just a little bit. This is sort of the issue of our time. We'll get into it. And that'll be our first story on the Daily Dispatch. So let's just do it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 3rd of November, 2025. Republican Jewish Coalition declares war on MAGA. The Republican Jewish Coalition's annual leadership summit this year was a festival of hate aimed at Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, as well as America First reps Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And of course, for context, as we're reminded by Information Liberation, the RJC CEO, Matt Brooks, revealed earlier this year to a small gathering of Chabad in Aspen in August of this year that he regularly talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about the, quote, existential threat of the anti-Israel, quote, woke right. Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and so on. So, no, this was not an American, you know, gathering. This was a foreign, you know, event put on American shores. We'll get into that later. Meanwhile, Trump announces plans to partially fund SNAP following court orders. Roughly 42 million people currently receive SNAP benefits, averaging $190 per month per person. The Trump administration on Monday announced it would partially fund SNAP benefits, aka food stamps, after multiple federal judges ordered them to keep the benefits flowing. Roughly 42 million people currently receive SNAP benefits. So I guess they can just do that. I guess we don't need to open the government if you can just have judges demand that we continue to fund things even if no agreement has been made. Very convenient, and yet another example of the judicial interference in the other branches of our government. Meanwhile, UK police charged 32-year-old man with attempted murder in train stabbing. That sort of sounds like it's downplaying it. 10 people almost died. 10 people were stabbed. In fact, 11, actually. It's gone up since I last checked. 11 people wounded in a single train attack by a British man, and we'll get back into that later. But the recent and seemingly increasing in, you know, frequency attacks on Brits in the UK, almost all of them come from people born in the UK to migrant parents, showing that it's not the migrants that are the issue. It's the second and third generations, too. So really, it's an even bigger problem to deal with. Meanwhile, under Trump, U.S. will not send high-level delegation to UN's climate hoax conference, COP30, in Brazil. So COP30 in Brazil is starting off. The U.S. is not participating to any meaningful degree. And I just thought I'd throw this in since this was a story about COP30 from a long time ago. Amazon rainforest cut down to build highway for COP climate summit. This was in March of this year. So, yeah, starting in March of this year, a new four-lane highway was cut through tens of thousands of acres of protected Amazon rainforest to bring the people to COP30 who are telling us that we're destroying the earth. Again, the hypocrisy is truly stunning, stunning in its scale. And finally, we have this. Authorities investigating explosion at Harvard Medical School, believed to be intentional. A device exploded inside the Golden Sin building in Harvard's Longwood Medical Campus early Saturday morning, according to a message from the Harvard University Police Department and police university affiliates. They say this was arson and the explosion was intentional, but leftist violence has become so common now, we don't even hear about a bombing in Harvard. I haven't seen this on any front pages. I just found it somewhere, you know, way down the line. They're trying to cover it up for some reason. I wonder what it could be.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'll be joined in studio by Naomi Zeift in the second hour. In the third hour, I'll be joined by Ian Wendt and Ian Carroll, I believe. They're both going to be here. We'll do a little round table about the Charlie Kirk murder and other associated topics. We got a lot of Israel stuff to talk about. And I think it's all very clear to me what's going on. People are very confused. Obviously, Alex talked about this for 3 hours and took calls on it. And not sure we got any closer to understanding what's actually going on here. But I think I can explain, because I've been through this before. And I bet a lot of people out there listening to my voice, you've also experienced what's happening between America and Israel. See, I one time had a long-term girlfriend and, I did love her in the beginning, but things started to sort of cool down. I started to not feel quite as happy as I once did. And she could tell I was getting cooler, sort of pulling away. And she asked me about it and I was honest with her. I said, look, I'm just not, I'm not happy with the way things are going. And so, of course, she took it very well and she said, well, we'll give you some space and, maybe we can try to recapture some of the flaming passion from early on. I'm kidding. She didn't do that at all. No, she wanted to talk about it. And after a couple of months of endless conversations and text message chains that never ended, and she's telling me I'm not supposed to hang out with my friends because she thinks they're a bad influence and they don't like her. So they're just talking trash about her behind her back. And it's like it goes from me being mildly dissatisfied to being absolutely miserable and going, well, this could have worked. We could have fixed this. Back when I just had, I was a little, I wasn't totally happy. I think maybe I want something different. If it had been handled differently, things could have been great. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. So a lot of people out there confused about this relationship between America and Israel. If you've ever dated a borderline personality girl, you're not confused. You know exactly what's going on. They're making us break up with them. They're making us break up with them by being frankly intolerable and making demands that we couldn't possibly meet and taking what could be just sort of moderate friction that we could get over, try to come together again. Instead, they're going to drive us apart with their ceaseless nagging. Okay. Now I'm kind of joking. That's kind of not actually true, but that is the mindset, isn't it? It's only partly true. Okay. This is a based on true story, biographical, story I'm telling you here, but not entirely true. She was Jewish though, so there was that. That had nothing to do with it though. Okay. But honestly, that's what this reminds me of. That's exactly what this reminds me of. It's just like, hey, I'm not so sure about all this money we send to Israel. It doesn't seem like they're doing that much stuff. And if the response had been like, well, let's talk about it. Maybe you're right. Maybe we can, limit some of the contributions to Israel. Maybe that is a good idea. And you're right. I don't like what they're doing with the kids, but here's why I think it, but no, instead it becomes, you are all anti-Semites, you are all Nazis, you will all be destroyed. And it's like, well, okay, now we got a problem. now we got an insurmountable difference, and this relationship can't go on in the way that it had before. So that's the way I see this, in pretty stark relief personally. In my mind, it's not all that complicated. But obviously, there was this thing this weekend, the Republican Jewish Coalition extravaganza. And is it just me? It seems like we have one of these twice a week. It seems like every week or so, there's a new batch of speeches from some new coalition having yet another event. And it's just got to be exhausting. Can you imagine being one of these people and you're jet setting from the Jewish News Syndicate to the Republican Jewish Coalition to the Jewish Committee, the Jewish whatever Congress to the AIPAC meeting to the ADL meeting. It's like, this is exhausting. How much does it cost to run all of these? Like, what is the return on investment of having another event every week saying the same stuff that just makes you significantly less popular? I don't get it. But we are paying for it. But this is our money that's paying for it. Because remember, all the money we send there, yeah, some of it goes into weaponry, but that's money they don't have to spend on weaponry and can instead spend on propagandizing the United States of America. So very convenient for them that we are paying for our own people to be propagandized into sending them more money. Sort of a circular operation they've got going on. Very sophisticated stuff. That's how you could put it. Is one way that you could put it. Now remember, the Republican Jewish Committee, the CEO, Matt Brooks, is open about collaborating with, coordinating with, and working hand in glove with the Israeli government. So this is not an American event per se. This is an Israeli event in America with all these people speaking at it and saying some of the most outrageous and, depending on how you look at it, hilarious or offensive stuff you can possibly imagine. And I don't want to spend the whole show on this, and we won't spend the whole show on this, but there's a lot to get into. And I'm sure, you know, people have seen most of this. So in fact, if you watch the Alex Jones show, you probably saw most of this. I might just skip the RJC because I believe it was while Trump was on air that Ben Shapiro dropped his contribution to this PSYOP, this propaganda campaign. And the messaging is a little bit confused. You can tell they're panicking because they're contradicting each other and themselves. I'll show one clip from the RJC. That's Mark Levin, clip 53 here. This is Mark Levin being very open about what the intention of this massive propaganda push from Israel on the American people. Like, no confusion, no unsurety, just pure, simple cancellation, just like the left does. We've been fighting this for 10 years. Now it's coming from Israel in particular, but it's the same crap, different day. Here's Mark Levin saying in perfect clarity, yes, we are canceling people. That's what we're doing here. Let's watch.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters, American haters, Churchill haters, you're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them. It's called the market system. They don't have a lifetime job like a bureaucrat who we're going to protect. And if they're your friend, there's something wrong with you. No Hitler admirer.
Yeah, that's about how it goes. Now, one thing I like is the logo of the Republican Jewish Coalition. It's not a good logo, but it's an accurate one because you have the American Eagle there. It's the symbol behind them. The American Eagle, and it's almost like the eagle is being blotted out by the Star of David, but you can't actually see the Star of David. It's just in the negative space. So you almost have this like invisible Star of David that's just blotting out the American Eagle. It's fascinating stuff. Other people are saying they can see a scorpion in it, but I don't see a scorpion. I just see an American Eagle under and behind the shadow of the Star of David. It's interesting, the iconography there. So he's very clear, like, yes, we're canceling them. We're going to cancel them. But then this morning, you have a bunch of, like, the Israel First people, the people that are clearly getting their talking points directly from, you know, Unit 8200, like Insurrection Barbie at Defiantly Free. Who's trying to cancel Tucker? The victimhood is, like, such a leftist thing. Criticize is not cancel. You can say whatever you want. We can all critique it. So it's a little bit confused, mixed messaging. Yes, we're canceling them. No, we're not canceling anybody. they're panicking. They're not sure which tack to take. First, they went with the "yeah, we're canceling them" tack, and that backfired in their face spectacularly. So now they're saying, "What? Cancel who? Us? Cancel people? Never. What? That's crazy." But you have to shut up. But you have to shut up right now. And, you know, Mark Levin, the marketplace. This is the marketplace of ideas. While you work to basically threaten and coerce people out of expressing their beliefs or being friends with people that are expressing their beliefs, that's not an open market. That is a mafia controlled market. That's what that is. So yeah, you're working like a mafia and everybody's pointing it out and you're having a hard time figuring out how to deal with this in your PR, the normal PR practices that you carry out. So clearly they're panicking. Clearly, and we've pointed out over and over, this stuff was never coming from Ben Shapiro this stuff was never coming from Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson. I've explained this many times. See, there's only two sides. They want to say the woke right versus MAGA. That's ridiculous and everybody knows it. It's Israel first versus America first. That's the divide. It always has been. Now, the America first people, Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, Alex Jones, myself, Marjorie Taylor Greene, we are not defined by Israel. It's just part and parcel with nationalism. I want my country to do well. I don't like being the, slavish, adherence to the demands of some, New Jersey of the Middle East. That's ridiculous. It shouldn't be happening. I would feel the same way if it was any country. It's not about Israel. It's just Israel's the one doing it. So they're the one that get the ire. Now, the Israel first people, they are Israel first. That is their primary concern. That is their main issue. That is why they're making the arguments that they're making. So that is a major and important difference in all of this. We're not coming from this from a perspective of Israel is the thing that we hate, and so therefore we're America first. We're America first, therefore Israel being in control of America is antithetical to our beliefs and should be fought against. So hope I cleared all that up. Now, Ben Shapiro made this 40-minute documentary playing a bunch of clips of Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson. So maybe we'll give him the same treatment. Maybe we'll treat him the same here. Maybe we'll look into some of the things he has said and celebrated and promoted, because maybe people don't realize this as well as they should. He's been wrong about everything. Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, I would throw in that category too. They have been wrong about pretty much every major topic that's confronted America for the last 10 years. Dead wrong. And anti-MAGA and anti-Trump. So, Ben Shapiro posts this video saying, no to this, no to this, no to this, no to anti-Semites, no to Nick Fuentes, no to Tucker Carlson. But if we'd been listening to Ben Shapiro, we would have said yes to the vaccine. We would have said no to voting for Trump in the first place, since he wrote articles about that. The Ukraine war, attacking Iran, like all of these things, they're on the wrong side of. He supported DeSantis when DeSantis was running. He wanted all the January Sixers thrown in jail for life. Okay, this is the Ben Shapiro that we're talking about. So I can maybe go to, one quick clip from this. But then we're going to look at some other things old Benny Boy has said in the recent past. Let's go to clip 47 here. Ben Shapiro says, America first conservatives own MAGA. I'm sorry, Israel first conservatives own MAGA. Let's watch.
My answer is no. No to the Groypers. No to their publicists like Tucker Carlson. No to those who champion them. No to demoralization. No to bigotry and anti-meritocratic horse shit. No to anti-Americanism. No. This is our country. This is our party. And this is our conservative movement. And I will not stand by while it is handed over to those who betray the most fundamental principles I have spent my entire life defending and advocating. That is a path to defeat and a path to moral oblivion. I reject it, because if we lose the right, we will lose to the left. And either way, we'll lose the country. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
So the question is, who is we, obviously? Because this ain't Ben Shapiro's party. It's ancient Ben Shapiro's country, according to him. They were never MAGA. Ben Shapiro wrote articles saying why you should never vote for Donald Trump. They supported DeSantis. I'll show you the video. I don't need to go through it. I'll show you the videos. Just as a blanket statement that is more true than untrue, Ben Shapiro has been wrong about everything for the last decade, and he's opposed Trump at the most important points over the last decade. No to voting for Trump, no to opposing the vaccines, no to caring about the browning of America, which of course is just mass migration. Ben Shapiro thought you were a racist if you cared about that. No to opposing the war in Ukraine. Yes to war in Iran. And then other people, I said that on X, and then other people came in with the other, you know, imprisoning January 6ers for life. He's so out of touch, it's mind-blowing. Syrian girl, he openly supports ethnic cleansing since 2003, where he writes an article that says transfer is not a dirty word, which just means forcibly expelling certain people from the area where their ancestors built and lived. And he says things that are actually genuinely racist and offensive, I would think, where he's like, Israelis like to build, Arabs like to bomb crap and live in open sewage. Settlements rock. Hashtag settlements rock. Yeah, we'll get to the settlements here in just a second. But again, should we listen to Ben Shapiro? Is he the guiding voice of the right wing? Well, according to him, who owns the American movement, who owns MAGA, he doesn't even consider himself really American. His support for America is predicated entirely on our support for Israel. Listen to me, listen to him. Clip 50. Here's Ben Shapiro telling you he's only cares about America insofar as it serves Israel. Let's watch.
Do you ever wonder if one day you will have to flee the United States?
I mean, I think that every Jew throughout world history who has a brain and knows history has always wondered if a country that is not a Jewish state is going to eternally provide them security guarantees and full citizenship, of course. I mean, that's why the existence of the State of Israel is the single greatest guarantor of my loyalty to the United States, frankly. Right, because Israel exists, that means the United States is going to be a more welcoming place for me, because Israel is there as a backstop in case anything should go wrong.
So there's two things about this. There's taking his words at face value, which, again, should be incredibly offensive to anybody who's actually American first, America first, right? My support of America basically is contingent on their support of Israel. But what he said was the existence of Israel means that I can stay in America, basically. In other words, if America stops being loyal or stops being, you know, nice to Jews here, then Israel will do something about it. That's how I read it. I read it as, yes, part of, you know, laying out where his loyalties lie. But the other part is, remember, Israel is a powerful nation state that has leverage on America that can be used and weaponized in order to protect Jews here, which is true, but maybe not the greatest thing in the world. Let's go to clip 46 here. Here's Ben Shapiro on January 6th, right? Again, just ask yourself, is this type of person who has the discernment to see, you know, truth from the lies, or has he fallen for every mainstream media pushed panic in the last 10 years? Here he is on January 6th, clip 46.
It turns out we now have over a dozen police officers who are injured. There are four people who are dead. One person was shot. Three people died in medical emergencies yesterday. That's as bad an event as I've ever seen in American public life. Frankly, I think that in many ways, it's the worst thing to happen to the United States of America since 9/11. It was cataclysmically awful, cataclysmically awful. Obviously, a very different sort of thing, considering that 9/11 was a foreign terror attack ending with mass carnage and mass death. But the grave damage done to the sense of democracy, to the propriety of a republic, and to the functional workings of our government yesterday, it was pretty awful. It was
worst thing since 9/11. Later, he went on to say all the January 6ers should be in jail for the rest of their lives. So, to your friend, I don't think so. If you can't see through January 6th, then you have no place talking to any of us about anything ever, sir. Let's go to clip 44 here. This is Ben Shapiro when Donald Trump was being harassed in like 1,000 different ways, being threatened to be sent to jail for the rest of his life. Here's what owner of MAGA, MAGA supremacist Ben Shapiro had to say about that. Clip 44.
Let's just be clear about this. If the primaries were held today, I would vote for Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, we know.
I would vote for him. He's the best Florida governor. He is the best governor in America. He is the most consistently conservative person in the race. He is an incredibly competent executive. He knows how to actually run the levers of power and make sure things happen, not just blow V8. I would vote for him in a primary.
So there he is, stabbing Trump in the back when DeSantis was challenging Trump, when Trump was just being persecuted at every possible level. And so we can keep going, shall we? Ben Shapiro, quote, "I would gladly waive the born in USA requirement for presidency for Bibi." And this is all tied up in this weird worship of Bibi. Like they worship him. And this is something that I want to get into in the next segment, because I got to say, I disagree with a lot of the takes out there that blame all of this on Bibi. These people worship Bibi, and I'm not even kidding. When I say worship, I don't mean like they really like him. Randy Fine said this: "There is a reason the first time I shook Netanyahu's hand, I did not wash it until I could touch the heads of my children." Okay. Randy Fine felt like his hand was sanctified by the glorious, righteous touch of Netanyahu, so much so that he waited until he could touch his children's heads to impart the blessing upon them before he washed his filthy hand. I mean, these people love Bibi Netanyahu, worship him, okay? Like to a degree that they like he's Jesus. It's crazy. Of course, if you ask Ben Shapiro about Jesus, this is one of the like most ironic. I didn't even grab this clip, but it goes around everywhere. Ben Shapiro's asked about what he thinks about Jesus, and he says, "I think he was basically a criminal and a rabble rouser and a troublemaker who got what he deserved." And it's one of these things where when you hear about anti-Semitism from the ADL, they'll claim that like it all sprouts from the first anti-Semitic claim that Jews killed Christ. And it's like, oh, so you don't want to kill Christ? They're like, oh, no, we do. Still, to this day, we still would. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And it's like, well, then what's the big deal? I mean, Ben Shapiro, leading light of the right wing, is like, yeah, Jesus Christ deserved to die. He was a criminal. He was a troublemaker, and he got what he deserved. But if you ever dare to say that his blood is on our hands, like how dare it's this is all it's you're trying to like hold together just a bunch of lies, and it's just not going to work. Ben Shapiro in June 16, 2017, and by the way, I don't give a good damn about the so-called browning of America. Color doesn't matter. Ideology does. I mean, unless, of course, and this is the ultimate irony, right, is that he's made his career pretending to be anti-identity politics, pretending to be facts above feelings. But in reality, his entire career has been motivated by and predicated on Jewish supremacy, full stop, and Israel being a Jewish state by ethnicity, by race, by law. So you don't care about the browning of America, but you are an anti-Semitic Nazi guy if you say that Israel should open its borders. They're Israel first. It is really not that complicated. And then you have some funny comebacks to this, like the comments on the YouTube channel. Nick Fuentes gave Tucker, Dave Smith, Glenn Greenwald, Patrick Bet-David, and many more their best ratings this year. If Ben Shapiro debates him, maybe he could bring Ben into the mainstream too. This whole conversation about where shouldn't platform and mainstream Nick Fuentes, he's more popular than all of you. Candace Owens is more popular than all of Daily Wire combined. Who are you trying to gatekeep? We're on the other side of the gate. You're gatekeeping an empty field. Nobody's with you. We're all on this side having a great time. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Just a second, but I got some more stories sort of about why it's so important that we pay attention to Israel other than the fact that it's being shoved down our throat all day, every day. And that, of course, is because it's being engineered. This is a deliberate feedback loop I don't even know if it's deliberate, but it's certainly a feedback loop, and it would make sense if it was deliberate. In other words, Israel behaving so abominably on the battlefield, bombing the hell out of Gaza relentlessly over and over and over forever, drives people to despise Israel. And then they take that anger at the state of Israel, say, actually, this is anti-Semitism. Look, anti-Semitism is rising. And they tell all the Jews in America, hey, you're surrounded by people who hate you. Maybe Israel is your escape route. Maybe you need to, maybe Israel is your protection. Maybe you need to support us more. So it's very useful for them. The more anti-Semitism there is in America, the more support they get. The worse they act, the more anti-Semitism there is. So they're actually incentivized to behave badly. And I'll show you some videos of that. But in addition to that, it's being used to justify and, allow for just massive anti-Semitism laws, which are just free speech laws, trying to you know, elevate one particular religion over anybody else. Again, complete violation of the First Amendment, but they are doing that. Let's go to clip 58 first. 58. This is the real reason why the panic is set in. This is the real reason why we're seeing these hysterical, shrieking speeches by the likes of Mark Levin saying, you're not, your little podcast isn't going to change the world. It's just like literal supervillain stuff. And this is why. It's because they keep calling for the debate. They have lost the debate. They no longer want to debate. They have become the woke left in a bizarre irony. Let's watch clip 58 now.
If you guys don't know what's happening on the right, it's pretty insane. The pro-Israel neocons are crashing out because they're losing support among traditional conservatives.
We're surrounded by cowards who have microphones, who have TV cameras, who have websites, who have columns. Cowards. It's spelled C-A-R-L-S-O-N. It's spelled F-U-E-N-T-E-S. It's spelled O-W-E-N-S. It's spelled B-A-N-N-O-N. It's spelled Marjorie Traitor Greene. You can figure that out yourself.
The reason they're crashing out is because people just don't want to listen to them anymore. You don't need to take my word for it. Just look at the decreasing subscribers and views for YouTube accounts like Ben Shapiro. Compare that to the growth of YouTube accounts like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson. Because the pro-Israel crowd is so worried about this going mainstream on the right, the response is to isolate Tucker from the right.
Friends, make no mistake. Tucker is not MAGA.
Ultimately, the subtext of all of this frantic pro-Israel wagon circling is that the polling isn't good for Israel. They're losing America and they know it.
You think your stupid little podcast, or your stupid little subscription program, or your little TV show, or maybe you have a little radio show, is going to change the world? Like hell it is. Not if I and everybody else have something to say.
Not if we kill you. Not if we kill you first. That's the underlying threat there. And it's like, again, what is the crime here? What is the big crime that Tucker Carlson interviewed Nick Fuentes? That's what all of this is about. That's why when you say things like Israel may have killed Charlie Kirk, it's like, look at the way they're reacting to just moderate criticisms, questions, just profiling somebody that isn't pro-Israel. It's like total insanity. And it's crazy, and it's only making things worse. They really are like your bipolar girlfriend. Like, they really are like your borderline personality disorder girlfriend. You can try to tell them to calm down. See how well that goes. Okay, folks? See how well it goes when you tell your outraged BPD girlfriend with her imagined slights against her, maybe she just needs to calm down a little bit. Tell me how that goes. Tell me how well that goes. Now, the only thing to do is to break it off. I mean, that's the only, you know, real solution. You break it off or just endure it. Just endure it. Thing is, what we get from Israel ain't what you get from borderline. At least there's sex in that relationship. I guess we are getting effed in many ways, so maybe there's that too. I don't know. My metaphor's falling apart. Let's go to clip 59 here, because again, this is the important thing. The important thing to understand is that this isn't just whining, shrieking, you know, outrage from people without power. These people are the most powerful people in our society right now, with the most money, the closest relationships to the Trump administration. This is Miriam Adelson. This is Mark Levin, who is like a special, you know, advisor to Trump on this. These are powerful people making these demands and writing laws on the basis of their own psychotic paranoia. So let's go to clip 59 here. We read this when it first came out, but a little refresher for you about what's coming down the pipe to America if this type of insane outrage is actually given credence and listened to with any sincerity. Let's watch.
This is on the State Department website, defining anti-Semitism. That's what the page is called. It was, it started in May 2016. 26th of May, 2016. The first one is calling for aiding or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion, to making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. 3, accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews. Denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, e.g. gas chambers, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, the Holocaust. Accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, for example, by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Applying double standards by requiring of it a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. Using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, for example, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel, to characterize Israel or Israelis. Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policies to that of the Nazis. And the last one, holding Jews collectively responsible for actions of the State of Israel.
So these are the things that have been adopted by the State Department in their new definition of anti-Semitism. These laws have already been written in Europe where you're not allowed to say these things. And like even in the list that she just read, the number of inconsistencies, hypocrisies, right? So you're not allowed to ascribe to all Jews everywhere the actions of Israel. But if you criticize Israel, it will be seen as a criticism of all Jews worldwide. You see how that, you see how this works? How convenient that is? I mean, every single aspect of it is subjective. All of it depends on, well, what did they really mean? Well, what is the purpose? I mean, you can't speculate on the method of killing when it came to the Holocaust. Like, this is absurd. This is absurd and ridiculous and clearly proving everything that it says you're not allowed to say, right? You're not allowed to say Jews control the media or, you know, have overwhelming influence, but they are trying to pass a list of, you know, statements you're not allowed to make that criticize them. Again, it's just, we can do this over and over, but they're actually trying to pass that. They're actually trying to destroy the First Amendment. Randy Fine actually wants to throw people in jail for 5 years for insulting Jewish people. This is outrageous. It is ridiculous. And they're using claims of anti-Semitism to protect themselves from resistance to this program. We're not going to fall for it, and I hope you don't either. And as a final note here, clip 42, this is a guy walking around the U.S. Capitol asking members of the U.S. Congress if they are pro-America or pro-Israel. Which country do they serve, which they like better? These are American politicians who cannot or will not answer the question whether they support their own country for whom they are a representative or a foreign state for whom they're not. Let's watch.
My name's Frankie Stocks. I'm a reporter with the Stu Peters Network. I would just love to ask you a quick question. I'm trying to ask every representative I can.
Go for it, Frankie.
That is, do you care more about the American people or Israel as a member of Congress?
I don't think they're mutually exclusive, Frankie.
Can you elaborate?
They're our best ally.
Are they?
Who do you care about more, the United States or Israel? United States or Israel, sir? No answer? Should we put you down for Israel? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? It's an easy one, American people or Israel? You don't got to fake a phone call, American people or Israel? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? The American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? No answer?
answer?
I think that Israel is one of our strongest allies in a part of the world where people are trying to harm us, and I think they need our support.
So should the U.S. continue funding Israel, despite their links to the 9/11 or their attack on the USS Liberty?
I mean, we have American citizens who are about to freeze to death in Western North Carolina, and we're sending millions to Israel. Yeah, so,
yeah, no,
well, it is a comparison because the money's going out. It's all coming from the same people. It's coming from the taxpayers, sir.
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel?
American people or Israel, sir? Sir, they're equal. Are you serving Israel or are you serving America?
I stand with Israel.
Okay, so can you answer the original question? Who do you care about more, U.S. or Israel?
There's no variance. It's like you're asking, you know, do you love your wife more than your daughter?
Well,
and you said it's a simple question.
It is.
Do you love your wife more than your daughter?
I love the United States more than I love Israel. Who's the priority when you're casting a vote in Congress, America or Israel? Well, it's a very simple question. You're not answering it, Representative.
No, nobody will answer. I've seen like 30 of these videos. One person has gone, oh, America. One representative asked without hesitation, said America. Even if you're like in the pocket of the Israel lobby, don't you just say America? As a reflex, like that's the creepiest part. And just know the reason they don't is because they're scared. That's not a setup question, right? That's not a like gotcha question. It's very simple. Who do you support more, America or Israel? These people are so Israel brained. They're so ADL addled. And it kind of works actually, ADL. They're addled. That like they seize up and they're like, oh good, they're trying to trick me into being anti-Israel. I don't know what to, it's fear. It's all fear. You just don't have to be scared. But then again, some of them probably are, you know, prefer Israel and just don't want to answer the question. But are these not major issues? Is this not a major barrier to getting America First programs, policies in place that our congressmen who represent us, or at least are supposed to, don't actually support America over Israel? They actually work more for Israel? That's crazy. But it's absolutely true. And again, they asked like 100 different representatives that. None of them answered the question outright, which is especially concerning because Israel doesn't seem to feel about us like we feel about them, right? In one way, you know, he's like, well, it's like asking, who do I love more, my wife or my daughter? It's more like asking, who do you love more, your wife and daughter, or like, I don't even know what, a prostitute that is, you know, your financial dom who takes money from you and gives nothing back. I mean, this is ridiculous. They don't actually care about America, and what they're engaged in right now is destroying the Republican Party on purpose, by design, creating this wedge issue out of whole cloth. We're all America First, but they want to, you know, oust major, important, powerful, and well-respected people on our side because they aren't unquestioningly loyal to Israel. And remember, that's the standard. That's the Tucker Carlson standard. He's not anti-Israel. He doesn't hate Israelis. He doesn't talk about loving Hitler or hating Jews. He criticizes specific actions of the Israeli government, and that alone is enough not to just get him canceled. They cancel the Heritage Foundation because they supported them. Now they're trying to cancel not just the guy at the Heritage Foundation, but the guy who wrote the speech for the guy at the Heritage Foundation. So now, if you aren't suicidally dedicated to Israel, and meaning you don't ever question anything they do, then it won't just be you, it'll be anybody who supports you, and anybody who supports you, that'll be destroyed. This is retarded. Okay? You don't have the leverage to do this. You don't have the ability to do it. You shouldn't do it even if you did. All this is doing is destroying the Republican Party. And I've got stories today about the GOP frantically trying to spin their, you know, abominably low approval rating, a lot of which comes from their dedication and often projected loyalty to Israel. Just like what happened in the Dutch parliament, where the far right was expected to, you know, gain seats and do even better, but they actually lost seats. Why? Because of the anti-Israel protest vote from the youth. So by tying MAGA to Israel and making Israel so unpopular, they are destroying MAGA. And they'll hand this country over to the left because they don't care about the left. Israel is not scared of the left. all the crying and hand-waving about AOC and Mamdani and Ilhan Omar, they aren't scared of the left. The left is useful idiots. They're easily controlled. They're easily distracted. They're mostly tied up in their own, you know, ethnic supremacy, you know, identitarian contest. So they're not actually scared of Israel. They'd be happy if America was – or they're not actually scared of the left. They'd be happy if America was controlled by the left. They're scared of the right wing wanting to decouple from Israel. So they're tying the right wing to Israel, meaning we're going to lose the next election and all of this will be nothing. It's not actually America first. But you think, why would they do that? How, you know, if America is this big guarantor, if the only reason they're able to get away with all they get away with is because America is their big guard dog bully that, you know, will protect them at every pass, why would they want us destroyed? Because they'll just move over to China. It's no big deal for them. They're already setting this up, actually. This is their plan. America has served Israel extremely well. Now it's time for us to be hollowed out and destroyed so we're not a threat in the future. Like you spike a cannon. They have used us like a base that they operated out of. And now that we don't like being used that way anymore, they'll destroy the base and move to a different base. This is what they're doing. I'm sorry to tell you this. It's in their own words. Quote, as the West dies, Israel's future lies with rising Asia. Since its founder, Israel believed it could develop alliances with Western countries because we shared ancient values of our Judeo-Christian heritage. But now they're saying the West is dying, right? Somebody started all these wars in the Middle East. Somebody advocated for them all to become refugees in Europe. Somebody's promoting global warming to destroy American and European industry for no particular reason. Somebody's starting a war in Ukraine. Now Europe is collapsing. And Israel's going, gee, these guys are passe. We're moving to Asia because somebody happened to offshore all of our jobs to China in the last 20 years. This is just what's happening, folks. I'm not the one telling you this. I'm reading an article from IsraelNationalNews.com. As the West dies, Israel's future lies with rising Asia. Or hear from Netanyahu, King Jew himself, Netanyahu. Israel and China, a marriage made in heaven, says Netanyahu. That why would they care about America doing well? They got China to go to. They've already got the agreements. They're already working with the Belt and Road Initiative. Generally, the relationship between China and Israel has been constrained by both distance and geopolitics. Israel is a strong partner of the United States, while China's historic report for the support for the Palestinian cause has caused complicated ties with the Israeli government. However, China and Israel are both keen to increase cooperation on economic matters. For Beijing, Israel is particularly attractive as a partner as China becomes a global leader in the high-tech sector. Israel is also a potential hub for China's Belt and Road Initiative, given its geographic location. For now, both sides seem content to accept the necessity of more limited political and security cooperation while they attempt to harvest the benefits of expanded economic partnership. Okay, so they're good. Israel's good. America can go down. They'll shift over to China and carry on operation that way. Meanwhile, AI drones used in Gaza now surveilling American cities. Immediately after October 7th, a little-known company shipped over 100 reconnaissance drones to Israel for use in the siege of Gaza. Having been battle-tested on Palestinian civilians, the UAVs are now being used to surveil protesters across the United States. The drones are made by a company called Skydio, which over the last few years has gone from relative obscurity to quietly becoming a multi-billion-dollar company and the largest drone manufacturer in the U.S. The extent of Skydio drone usage across the U.S. and the extent to which their usage has grown in the last few years is extraordinary. They have contracts with more than 800 law enforcement and security agencies, up from 320 in March last year. So this is actually run out of Israel. This is an Israeli company with Israeli drones that are now being contracted by American law enforcement to surveil American cities and American protests and Americans. Now these drones, tested in genocide and refined on Palestinians, are swarming American cities. Miami, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, San Diego, Cleveland, Jacksonville. AI system behind Skydio is powered by NVIDIA chips and enables their operation without a human user. So you now have Israeli designed and operated drones flying around America, logging people's identity for participating in anti-Israel protest on American streets. Then we have this. Federal filing details Israeli contract for U.S. church outreach effort. Is this common? A federal disclosure filed with the U.S. Department of Justice shows that Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs has contracted with a California marketing firm to promote educational outreach among American evangelical Christians, including congregations in Texas. And basically, they are geofencing churches, and they're able to scrape all of the data from anybody that enters onto the territory of a church that is signed or, you know, entered into one of these contracts. So you now have Israeli drones flying over American cities, Israeli companies systematically documenting every church-going American. You've got the so-called digital dome that's being erected, but we only found out because the designer and, you know, primary manager of this, you know, the cybersecurity that now America and Israel were both contracting this out to, America and Germany both now basically have our cybersecurity run by Israel in the Israeli digital dome. And the guy who was running it was Tom Alexandrovich, who was the guy that got caught trying to rape a minor in Las Vegas and then allowed to leave the country instead of facing trial because they had, you know, somebody in the prosecutor's office there, also a dual Israeli citizen who let him free and go home and he won't be extradited. He's the one actually running and operating the digital dome system that is now providing digital security for Germany and America. That's no longer in our hands. It's now in the hands of Israel. That doesn't seem to have our best interests in mind. Maybe that's a mistake. So all of this combines, you know, to show that, like, in the minds of the Israelis, when it comes to, like, the dichotomy, who's on what side? America is firmly on the side of Gaza in their mind, right? When it comes to, like, we look at the Israeli-Gaza conflict, Americans like to see ourselves as the Israeli side, the sophisticated, powerful side, just beating the crap out of the little people. That's how Lindsey Graham and the like to present it. The reality is Gaza is being served as a testing ground that once Europe is fully Islamicized, it'll just be turned on Europe at that point. I mean, these are all long-running programs that have had absolutely horrifically detrimental outcomes to everybody subjected to it, including obviously the Palestinians, but the Europeans and Americans as well. So we can stop at any point, but to frame this as, like, everything I'm reading, and it's like, if you have a problem with any of that, you hate Jews and you are a Nazi. It's like, what? Wait, I don't like my politicians not knowing which country they love more. I don't like being censored for pointing out things that are true. I don't like a foreign country dictating censorship terms and destroying the First Amendment in my country. I don't like being surveilled by drones run out of Israel. I don't like America or Germany's cybersecurity in the hands of Israel. I don't like the sycophantic dedication that American politicians have to Israel when Israel seems ready and willing to pivot to China the moment they don't get what they want from us. Why would we be okay with any of this? And why would opposing this have any bearing on how we feel about Jewish individuals? It's a ridiculous lie. Anti-Semitism doesn't exist, isn't a real thing. And their outrage and their panic right now is revealing that our peaceful revelation of the scams is having a massive and powerful effect. Stay tuned for more. We'll be joined by Naomi Zeit on the other side, first person to request asylum from Germany.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to theallyshowstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Ally Shows Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for AutoShip, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAllyShowStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of the War Room is on. I'll be joined by Naomi Zeit here in just a second, but I got to give a shout out and a seal of approval, the InfoWars seal of approval to an activist this weekend, Thomas A. Speciale the second at Speciale4VA on X says, after the conference on Thursday, I confronted former CIA Director Brennan directly regarding the signing of the 51 intelligence officers memo, knowing that Hunter Biden laptop was real and not Russian disinformation. Watch his response. This only came after he was confronted on stage. We'll go to that clip first. Clip number one, John Brennan challenged by somebody. Yeah, they're not, these people are shaking in their boots. John Brennan is very worried about the indictments coming down the pipe. Let's watch.
I was at the DNI when the first ICA was released regarding cyber influence on the 2016 election. I was there. I was working in the NIM. I read it. I also was involved in setting up the principals committee meeting that took place in December that resulted in President Obama directing a more fulsome, because I understand the difference between a cyber ICA and a total whole of government ICA intelligence collection on Russian involvement or influence in the election. And I noticed immediately in the ICA, the second ICA, because I had access to the classified ICA, that there were statements in that ICA that were not supported with the sourcing that was associated to the ICA, specifically that that Putin had directed the action and that Putin had that the Russians were actively trying to support President Trump instead of just sow chaos.
Your question.
My question. There was an email that went around from General Clapper to yourself and Hayden. I'm sorry, not Hayden.
That's right.
yourself and Comey, et cetera, that basically said we all got to get on board with this. Otherwise, it isn't going to work, basically. And I think that email puts everybody in the crosshairs. I would like to hear what your justification was for supporting the dossier that was known to be false, being used as source material in the second ICA.
I don't know who put you up to this.
Nobody put me up to this, sir. I'm here on my own.
I don't know what role you played or who you are, but it's a bunch of bullshit that you just passed on.
The emails are clear, sir.
Bullshit.
The emails are clear.
Bullshit.
The emails are clear.
Next.
The second
next.
Question.
No,
next.
I think we're going to go.
Is the,
go.
Is
next.
The,
look, next.
Look,
next.
You can.
Next. Next.
Look, we can talk about it.
No way.
Talk about it in the reception.
Russian disinformation.
No, we didn't say
no,
that.
No, get your facts straight. You said it was likely Russian disinformation.
No, we did not. We said
yes, you did.
No.
That memo,
read the letter. I'm ignoring it.
Okay. And I just like, I know I'm going to get uninvited.
Yeah.
To the after hours.
No, you're done.
And he says, ask me the after hours. We'll get to the after hours. We'll get to that in just a second. But pure panic. And this is what happens when these people are confronted with their lies that are absolutely proven beyond any doubt. I mean, they're in their own words, these emails that the guy's referencing. And that's not even getting into the Hunter Biden thing where they think they're cute. They think they're being, you know, clever, where they're like, well, we just said it has all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. We never said it was one. And it's like, you scumbag liars. But it's always, who sent you? Who are you doing this for? Yeah, we don't need, you know, motivation to tell the truth. We don't need to be paid by somebody to ask why you are not in prison with all of the treason that you committed. We don't need to be put up to this by anybody. You remember when they actually brought on Tony Bobulinski, who was telling the truth about Hunter Biden and the way Joe Biden was involved. He gives this speech where he lays out that the president of the United States, vice president at the time, was engaged in high-level corruption with a former state that's led to a war. And the first thing that the reporters, the left-wing reporters, ask is, who's paying you to do this? Who paid for your flight here? Who paid for your hotel room? It's like they don't even hear the insane bombshell revelations he's putting out. Because it's all, well, who's paying you to this? Who's paying you to do this? Now they say, you can talk about this in the after hours. Well, here's the after hours, clip number two.
Why wouldn't you on the Hunter Biden list? Why say that? Because I think
that... And you misrepresented that. We never said it was disinformation. We said it was
fingered
in the chest. Which is what they do. There's a big difference between influence operations.
No, you don't know that.
Yes, Comey
you
knew.
Comey knew.
The literature said it had all the hallmarks.
Completely triggered, tries to bully the guy, tries to weasel his way out of it. We're on to you, scumbag. Go find the story at InfoWars.com. We'll be back on the other side with Naomi Zeitz. Do not go anywhere, folks.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost... I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
A massive problem among our younger generations, this will not come as a surprise to you, is the feminist doctrine, because it stole our future. Do you remember when Greta Thunberg said that her future had been stolen by, what, climate change, CO2, and natural gas? That's insane. That was a pure distraction from the fact that feminist doctrine had taken our virtues, the very essence of our humanity, and that which makes us feminine, us as women, obviously. I never needed feminism. I needed direction. And I will tell you, in middle school, I was first taught the principles of feminism. I thought to myself, that sounds reasonable. Equality for all, equality for men and women. Am I oppressed as a woman? Potentially. Maybe I should side with the victims. Maybe I am a victim myself. I had never considered myself a victim in the past, but then all of a sudden, feminists told me that I was a victim. And so I fell into that trap, not for a very long time, I will tell you. I soon figured out that feminism is actually in it to destroy my entire purpose. That I'm actually seeking something much greater in my life, and that is the truth. And you know who is someone who could have acted like a victim, who had every right to act like a victim? Erica Kirk. And yet, she chose to reject her victim mentality, and she chose to rise above anything that any of us probably have been confronted with in our entire lives. She chose to forgive the person that harmed her and her family the most, who killed her husband. I don't think 99%, I'll actually say 100% of feminists have ever expressed this kind of strength in their lives. And on the right, we often talk about how young men need guidance, they need a role model, they need to find their own strength again because feminism put them down and told them they were basically worthless. And all that's true. But at the same time, what about the women who have been completely misled and taught things that are completely untrue? We need to give them some sort of guidance too to find the light. Because there is a reason why women are leaning increasingly more far left. And on the other hand, you have men who are starting to hate women. They don't hate women, they hate feminism. They hate what feminism did to us women. I want men and women to fall in love with each other again. Call me cheesy, call me overly romantic, call me a lunatic. I believe in true love. That is our destiny.
There you go, folks. That's Naomi Zeitz. You can follow her on X at ZeitzNaomi. She's a political commentator currently seeking asylum in the U.S. from German political persecution for her support of the AfD. Naomi is on a mission to revive open debate and critical thinking in an age of echo chambers and censorship, raising topics not for panic, but to get people to think. And obviously, from feminism to climate change to free speech, you're on the wrong side of everything, Naomi, if you wanted an easy life.
Yeah, that's true.
You've made things difficult for yourself by telling the truth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on. I was on your show just very recently.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually in studio. It's incredible. I'm a big fan of the entire show. I appreciate that you actually pulled up this clip about me talking about feminism, which is not something that I'm usually confronted with, but I think it's very important because we don't talk enough about the divide between men and women these days, because women are leaning increasingly far left,
yeah,
whereas men are becoming more Republican, more towards the right. And this is a massive problem in society, obviously, because how are people dating anymore? It has become a big problem. Many men pretend to be liberal just to date women, and the other way around, women are just completely not accepting of any different opinions from men because they feel oppressed instantly. And I'll be so honest, in middle school, I mentioned it in the video, I saw the speech that Emma Watson gave about her coming out as a feminist, and I thought, oh, wow, that's so moving. Maybe I am oppressed.
Right.
Yeah. And then it was not until high school. That's when I first started questioning it and discovered basically that's all nonsense. This kind of rhetoric is trying to keep me down. Because the thing is, I was very much I was into STEM. I was into science. And so I thought, okay, so this is empowering me as a girl who likes science. But I realized at some point, this is no longer about a meritocracy. This has nothing to do with meritocracy or empowering and uplifting women. It's stealing our future.
Yeah. And it sort of ties into everything, right? I mean, it's just, there's a similar sort of spirit that motivates the feminist cause and the climate change cause and the transgender cause. And it's this desire to sort of upend the way things were and to promise something better. But the thing that's supposed to be better is never fulfilled. And in reality, you're just tearing down the traditions that, you know, made us strong in the first place. So I think it's all sort of one conspiracy, really, against the Western world, as far as I see it. And especially when you're talking about Germany, I mean, I don't know, which has hit Germany harder, feminism or climate change?
We've been hit by everything. I think the climate change agenda was very big because Greta Thunberg was a very famous figure, and I think maybe even more so in Europe than in America,
right?
Because she's from Sweden, and so I became known as the anti-Greta Thunberg in 2019, 2020. So that's initially how I became, I would say, more infamous than famous, especially in the media. They didn't like it very much. I think they wanted to paint me as some sort of anti-Christ in opposition to Greta Thunberg. But the thing is, I didn't realize myself that it was such a controversial belief, and that soon after I would be declared far-right extremist, because truly, like in middle and high school, I was very autistic. I didn't do anything with guys. I didn't go on any parties, and not because I felt better than them, just because I was constantly into science. I did all the science competitions, had straight A's, left school with straight A's. And so everybody told me, oh, you're going to be something big. You'll go to university, to college, and go to Harvard, apply to Cambridge, Oxford. I actually went to the Cambridge interview because I then decided maybe I'll study law. And eventually it dawned on me that this was still in the system that I wanted to escape. I felt so stuck in this education system, public education. And as soon as I started getting into politics, I became more familiar with libertarian philosophy and being pro-freedom. And that's actually what I actually wanted to do all this time. I wanted to go against the grain. I wanted to stand up for myself, for my freedom. And I did not expect to be met with so many repercussions, so much adversity for my political opinions and for standing up for my free speech. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and isn't that the way it always kind of goes, is they're preying on something that is good in you, right? I think we all have some degree of what you just expressed. Like, I want to go against the grain. I want to stand up for myself. I want to fight back against the power. And so they go, oh, you do? Well, feminism will work for you. You know, racial, you know, controversy will work for you. And I feel like we all go through that a little bit. I know I did, where you know, you start learning about this stuff and you go, yeah, this isn't right and this is wrong and, you know, this is bad. But then you sort of eventually get to a point where you go, well, wait a second. This is going in the opposite direction as I thought. I thought that, I don't know, voting for Barack Obama was like the last thing we'd have to do when it came to race. Like, once we did that, it would be like, you know, black president, racism solved, we can move on. And yet it only becomes an engine of more problems. So what did it take for you to, like, break through the programming? Like, when you first start learning about feminism and thinking, oh, yeah, this is empowering, this is good, What is it that gets you through that, beyond that, to where you learn to actually support things that are actually bringing freedom, actually good for women, things like that? How do you break through the programming?
Yeah, my political journey started in 2015 with the migration crisis in Germany,
right,
when Angela Merkel opened the borders. And I was one of the very first people who became skeptical, because I said, I mean, it's a bit crazy to just open the borders and then expect it's very harmful to the people of Germany. And I think a government has the duty to protect its citizens first before anything else. And you cannot just let these people in that are coming from completely culturally incompatible countries and cultures, with smuggling in actual Islamists, actual terrorists, committing all these crimes against especially our women. We saw the Sylvester New Year's Eve night in 2016. That's when a lot of Germans, a lot of German women were raped in one single night. And that's one of the dark marks of Angela Merkel's legacy, which she is still being confronted with to this day. But for some reason, it just continued. It just continued for many years. And then I started to see more people who agreed with me. And suddenly I was in the far right camp, and I didn't see it coming, because I was not political in school at all. I didn't even know the main difference between left and right, to be honest. I knew that Hitler is right wing, but that's all I knew about it. And the actual distinction between political philosophies, we don't even have the political compass in Germany. So you just know left, right, don't be right, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really so much more complicated than that. And yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, it never made any sense, but okay, just taking them on the word, they go, hey, look, you know, we've got this pension program, it's falling apart, we need these extra workers. Well, when all the workers come in and go on welfare and you end up having to raise the retirement age, it's like, okay, experiment over, this didn't work, it's time to send them back. So it's like, again, you should be able to see what's happening just from the outset and go, this doesn't make any sense and we shouldn't be doing this. But if you believe their arguments, at a certain point you go, this is having a detrimental effect to the problem you think that you're solving, but it never seems to matter. Because obviously there's the actual reason that they're bringing in, which is, I think, just trying to destroy Europe outright. I mean, what do you think the end goal of all of this is? Do you think these are people that are just well-meaning but stupid? They think they're going to help the pension program and it didn't work out and they're too dumb to figure that out? Or do you think there is a deliberate, like, agenda behind all of this?
There is 100% an agenda behind it. At this point, it would be ridiculous to deny it. And I know it's very unpopular to say the great replacement is taking place, but I mean, just look at the numbers. You just have to compare the statistics. The birth rates of Western civilization are declining. When people say that whites are the majority and we're dominating white supremacy, no, whites are in the minority, globally speaking. It's actually ridiculous how few white people exist in the world. I think it's like around 10% maybe. These people are going extinct. We are going extinct. Me, as a blonde, blue-eyed German, that's very rare. And I'm not saying that it's superior to anything. I just think it's worth preserving, just like everything else. But our government has a duty, in my opinion, to protect our original native people. Don't we say that about the Native Americans, that they need to be protected? Why is it so controversial when it comes to Germans?
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, it's ridiculous that you have to make the argument. Like, to be expected to present a case for why your people shouldn't be eradicated, it's absurd to be put in this position.
And why do I need to repent for crimes I never committed in my life? Yeah, neither did my grandparents, by the way, just to make it very clear. My grandparents, actually. My grandpa was a professor for mathematics, and he was in America for a longer time. And he taught at Princeton and Berkeley University. So, yeah, he was in America for a while. My grandma actually got married to him in America, and then my mom was born in America, and I didn't actually quite figure this all out, so it's nice to know now that I'm in America, kind of like a very full circle moment. But I did not grow up with American culture at all. I didn't know anything about our family history of being a little bit inspired by America, I think.
Well, that's very interesting, but of course it doesn't protect you from the claims, right? I mean, it's okay. The same thing with that, like, you know, we have grandfathers who died fighting the Nazis. It doesn't stop us from being called Nazis for believing the same thing that our grandfathers believed. I mean, the whole thing is absurd and inverted. And, you know, we can do this now. I don't know if we can go to these videos, because these are all from just this weekend. And I'm sorry, this is going to be a depressing segment. This depresses me, but I want to go through just very quickly we'll do a little tour of Europe, because these are all different countries. So we'll just go through these real quick. We'll start at clip 5 here. This is Britain in 2025. And we can go to clip five now. Here's Britain. Here's a guy with a shovel fighting the police. And I think the cops don't even stop him. I think it's actually a random bystander that comes up and puts this guy down. Okay, so if you're in UK, don't be surprised if you get a shovel to the face for walking in the streets, and you might have to do the cops' jobs for them because, well, they're all kind of pudgy ladies, not ready to deal with the guy. So there's the other guy. Okay, so that's UK. But let's see how Belgium is. Let's go to clip six in Belgium. This was a guy who was walking down the street in Belgium. We can roll it here. You took it down, guys. There he is, your friendly neighborhood immigrant here with wielding a machete. And in this case, the Belgian man looked at him wrong. He apparently looked at him wrong, so the machete comes out and the threats come out. All right, so UK and Belgium, not great. Let's go to clip eight here. Vienna, the world city of Vienna. Lovely walk around a Viennese park here. It looks like a homeless camp for gypsies. So that's Vienna. All right, so Belgium, UK, Austria, not looking good. What about France? What about Paris, France? Clip number nine here. Here's Paris, France, where a bunch of Muslims are rioting and attacking people and breaking people's windshields, and God only knows what this is about. We don't know if there's even a reason for this. Something. They're mad at something. Hordes of migrants stormed down the street, vandalizing car shops and restaurants while shouting Allah Akbar. And we could keep going. I mean, we could keep going. It's every country in Europe now looks like this. And it's like, how do people see this and not realize it? And again, I could show more videos. I mean, we can go to clip seven here. This is another, you know, shot of London. Not even people in this one, just pure trash and filth and grime. And then we can finish out with clip 10 here, because this is the actual migrant flow, and every one of these dots represents 25 people. So, like, what is it about Europe that people can't see this? What makes them blind to this, Naomi, that you go to every single city, country in Europe, in the West, and it looks like a bazaar in Mozambique? It's crazy. People don't see how this is utterly changing Europe forever.
It's media brainwashing. It's gaslighting, gaslighting, gaslighting it. I have people in my comments telling me, oh, you're just putting on a show. You're not running away from anything. There's nothing going on. You're just doing this to be this poster girl for the right. That's what I've been called for years. Even though I'm under surveillance by intelligence, I receive death threats by Antifa to my home address. I got phone calls because my address, my number, everything was public, and basically still is. That's still the same location. And it's been a few horrifying years. It took a toll on my health, for sure. It was very difficult. I had to step out of the spotlight for many years, and it was not fun. I never made any money with it for years. I struggled, barely survived what was going on, and it's this year, and maybe since 2024, that I actually managed to fight for myself and to get out of the mere survival state and actually get to a point where I know confidently that I can be optimistic for the first time. And yeah, it's we have the state media, especially in Germany, where we pay taxes for the media. So it's very hard to establish any sort of competition. I work with a leading German alternative media now, which is Deutschlandkurier. And the chief editor, he actually got sentenced to 7 months on probation for posting a meme of the former interior minister holding up a sign saying, "I hate free speech." So that's just peak irony. So I stand in solidarity with them. And I think it's very important that we establish a movement of alternative media in Germany that can actually confront and be a counter force against the established media. That's why when Elon Musk said, "We are the media," or "You are the media now," that's crucial for us. It's extremely important that we replace the establishment media.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just to emphasize what you mean about this, this was a conference about free speech. I knew things were bad in the UK, but didn't realize it was blowing China out of the water. So this is countries with the most arrests for online comments. Okay. Out of all countries, the United Kingdom tops the chart with 12,183. Next up is Belarus, which you would kind of expect, but third on the list is Germany, with over 3,500 arrests, coming above China. And then you have Turkey, Russia, Poland. But, I mean, most of these countries, or at least half of them, are European countries. Even United States has arrested 50 people. But, you know, Germany beats out China. And, you know, how many more times the population of Germany is China, and yet Germany still arrests more people? So, I mean, this is real tyranny, and yet they call themselves democracies.
Wait, but I thought Russia was the tyranny.
You would
they
think.
Lied to us.
You would think they arrested around 400 people a year for free speech. 400 versus Germany's 3,500. And there's the meme that got 7 months not jail, but he was on parole or whatever for a little while. Yeah, white people are endangered, less than 7% of the population. So again, how is Germany beating out China in terms of arresting people for speech?
Because it's a very concealed form of tyranny in Germany, because they keep pretending that we're a free Western society, and that still is true to this day. It's just the image that they have maintained for themselves, but it's not true. It's all a lie. And in Germany, it's we have the history of East Germany, socialism, of course, where we had the Stasi secret police, and it's something like one out of every five people was spied on by the Stasi or was even a Stasi agent. That's how it was. So you couldn't trust anyone. You couldn't trust your own family. And nowadays, why do you think it is mostly East Germans who vote for the AfD? Because they know what it's like. They know socialism, and they want to escape that same fate. Some of them even say it's even worse today because they are gaslighting us and they are feeding us this lie that it's not as bad as you think it is. But as soon as you say something that goes against the establishment, you will just be silenced. You'll be put in jail. You'll be put under surveillance. And then they keep gaslighting you. It's just those are the far-right people. They deserve it. Those are the extremists.
Ah, it is insane. And, yeah, you know, we tend to sort of, as Americans, sort of, you know, laugh at the idea of, like, oh, the European law enforcement. The Brits don't even carry guns. Their police don't even carry guns. But, like, there's a weird thing in Europe where it's, like, the police are kind of, like, kind of weak and not too intimidating like American cops are. But then, like, when you cross a threshold, they're like militaristic. They come in, they rip you out of your home, they send you to jail and don't even tell you why. Like, it can actually be brutal. And in a lot of ways, it is like a police state there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the media defamation is another big problem, in my opinion. It's, I've experienced it personally. You just pulled up an article that was written by the Spiegel about me. I love how they ended the article with whether or not you will actually receive asylum is actually very questionable. That was the quote. So that's pretty funny. Let's just prove them wrong. That's my goal now. But I also see mostly the legacy media that don't like me. They use photos of me from a time when I was extremely sick. So I think that's very intentional. I mean, I don't mind as much because I look back at those times and I know how much I struggled, how difficult it was. I had very bad gastrointestinal problems and I struggled with it for many years. I ended up in hospital at an extremely low weight. I basically died and came back to life. That's how bad it was. I was in the ICU for 2 weeks, in hospital for 8 weeks in total. I had nurses who knew who I was and didn't agree with me at all. That was very difficult because imagine you're in a state where you're just 100% reliant on everybody else taking care of you, hooked to cables, and they don't like you. And then I had a doctor who said to my face, you're going to die anyway. And I thought to myself, but what if I don't? And so I survived. And then I had a head physician, the one guy. Fortunately, he was my head physician. And he said to me, you have a mission. You need to survive. He listened to one of my podcasts, totally coincidentally. He said, I actually agree with you. And funnily enough, he's from Jerusalem. He's an immigrant himself. Very interesting. And I still keep in touch with him today. He saved my life in a way. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that aspect of the story. And that's a real threat. In fact, I've seen another article of doctors saying, I will not treat AfD supporters. Yeah. And like refusing to treat them when they're like the only doctor in the village. So, man, people, and they think that you're the extreme one. They would, you know, let you die, but they're going to call you the extremist. It's absolutely absurd. We'll get more into this on the other side. I do want to remind people, we are not, immune from this in America. We are having our free speech limited and constricted right now. And so it's more important now than ever that you go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. Support us. Keep InfoWars on the air. Keep Alex Jones and myself on the air. Get yourself a fantastic supplement and shop easy knowing that you are really supporting an outlet that truly believes in free speech and is fighting for it with everything we've got. More with Naomi Zeipt on the other side. Follow her on X at Zeipt Naomi. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for AutoShip, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80-plus percent reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
I have shared the Methylene Blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the Methylene Blue, stopped the bleeding. Alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it. Now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the InfoWars audience just buys Methylene Blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is you know I can go. I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the biggest, some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is we've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out thealexjonesstore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Naomi Zeibt. You can follow her on X at Zeibt Naomi, and that's S-E-I-B-T, Naomi, S-E-I-B-T. We're just talking about Germany in general. And one thing you pointed out to me that I didn't realize was that because AFD has been declared a far-right extremist organization, that actually now severely limits their ability to actually be involved in certain things. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the idea behind it is that because they are far-right extremists, for example, you couldn't possibly have an AFD police officer. And that's just going to turn our country into a very one-sided police state where you have only left-wing police officers that can then be used as soldiers against AFD members, AFD voters, AFD supporters. That's why they're going around and conducting all these house raids at people's homes where they just posted something that didn't align with the establishment's views, for example.
Right.
It's going to be very dangerous. And then also in doctors' positions, psychologists, for example, you're not allowed to have AFD members as psychologists anymore. But even worse, in my opinion, my best friend, she's not political at all. I've never mentioned her name or anything. It's very anonymous, our friendship between each other, but she's my best friend in Germany, and she's amazing, and she's studying psychology, currently in her master's, about to finish. And she says to me all the time that even the professors at her university are talking about, should we even treat AFD patients.
Wow.
We should reject them. They are not worthy of being treated by psychologists, by any doctors.
Wow.
Yeah.
And of course, they'll pathologize your normal beliefs, right?
Correct.
You say, hey, I want Germany to be Germany. That'll be pathologized into some sort of condition that you have to be medicated for. And so, man, I can think of just so many ways that this is chilling, right? You declare the AFD far-right extremists. Now you can spy on them, which even if you're not using that to like actually throw people in prison, it'll be very useful information for the other, you know, political parties if they can get their hands on what AFD is planning and what they're trying to do. It's just going to really hamper them that way. And as much as it's going to, you know, mean that AFD voters aren't going to be hired as police, it also means that anybody who wants to be a police officer or wants to be a doctor is not going to vote for AFD.
Yep.
Because it'll interfere with their ambition. So just massive chilling effect by declaring AFD just because they're popular. And really that seems to be the reason, right? I mean, they come up with the things that AFD says that they claim are far right, but the more popular AFD gets, the more and more calls for it to be banned, the more and more calls for it to be declared a terrorist organization come about, which is obviously just in flagrant violation of their very idea of democracy, that the more people support this party, the more they get crushed by the state. And it's just completely bonkers. It's like hard to even wrap your mind around.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it has gotten increasingly worse, where people have been so indoctrinated that they no longer see how we have progressed from the past. Just in the early 2000s, people were way more traditional, way more conservative in Germany. And that just flipped after a while. For example, okay, we just saw Friedrich Merz here on screen. He and Angela Merkel, they said around 2009, multiculturalism has failed. There are many clips of these two saying these kinds of things in the entire CDU party. The CDU was the Republican Party in Germany, essentially. Right. Yeah, and the SPD was the opposition, was basically more like the Democrats. And now they are both the same. We have a two-party system now where the AfD is the opposition, and then everybody else is the left.
And that's happened in pretty much every European country I can think of. France, Germany, obviously, it just happened in the Netherlands. It's happened in the UK, where when the far right, as they put it, the far right, just very simple traditional right wing, raises in power, the center left and the far left join together to stop them. And it happens over and over and over again. Why is it, like, if Germany, half of Germany was subjected to this brutal totalitarianism by the communists, I can understand why Germany would be hypersensitive about Nazism and far right wing. Why isn't the same thing applied to the left? I mean, like you said, a lot of people in Germany were under the control of the Stasi or, you know, being brutalized by the communists. Why is the same knee jerk reaction not applied to the left as it is to the right?
That's a very good question. Angela Merkel was born in the West, but everybody knows that she lived in the East her entire life. Yes, that's because her father was a very proud socialist. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is actually 100% true. And he moved with her when she was just a toddler to the East because he preferred the East. He preferred socialism. But why? Because some animals are more equal than others, and he was more equal. And he got all the privileges, and so did she. She was studying physics, and she got the privilege to travel to the West whenever she wanted to. And she basically never had to fear anything in the East. She was one of the high animals, basically. Mm. And her father wanted her to get into politics. So why did she choose the Conservative Party? That's very strange, even though he supported her entire political career. And then there have been Correct. You see the here on screen, she says she has no secrets in her communist past, but she has also said on multiple occasions it's possible that she may just misremembering some things. If she gets confronted with a statement that she made of endorsing socialists, maybe she's just not remembering that. Maybe she's just forgotten it. But it gets worse because there have been many rumors about her potentially having been a Stasi agent, which just statistically speaking, it is not unlikely that right. A lot of people were Stasi agents, and especially as somebody who had so many privileges. And it gets much worse because she originally in the East, just before the reunion, the German alliance was built, which was then forming a coalition or morphing together with the CDU from the West. And she was a member of this German alliance. And the co-founder of the German alliance was Wolfgang Schnur. He was later exposed as a Stasi agent. But if you look up his name and a Spiegel article with Angela Merkel, you will find that he is known as the man who made Angela Merkel famous. Mm. And he was so famous as a Stasi agent, too, that he received medals for his work because he prevented protests. And he was horrific. He was a tyrant. And he was one of Angela Merkel's closest buddies who made her famous. He was, her press secretary, and he was good friends with her father. Wow. So there are many, many rumors about whether or not she was a Stasi agent. So why don't we find out? There was actually an independent man who went to the German government and requested from the German court that they release her Stasi files. She said, of course, no, I don't want that. And they could potentially, they would have the authority to release them anyway, even if she denies it, even if she doesn't want to. But they said, and this is an actual quote, which you can look up if you want to, that they think it would not be beneficial for the welfare of the German government if they release Angela Merkel's Stasi files. That's odd. Why don't we want to stir up the rumors? Why? Is that a problem? If she has something to hide, maybe. When she was in office, obviously she had full access to the Stasi files, so I don't know if she burnt them. But we do know that somebody has them, in Russia, of course, but also the CIA. They have everything. They have the names. They know everything.
Well, and it goes to show, obviously, you don't have, the ability to hide what you're doing from the government, but the government can seal files forever, even when they're pertinent and actually matter and have to do with somebody leading your country. But it's crazy to me that in 2009, they were saying multiculturalism has failed. As you point out, the migrant crisis really kicked off into high gear in like 2015, but 6 years before, they're already saying, okay, this has failed. Why change in 2009 from saying multiculturalism has failed to being the wrecker of Germany and opening up the gates in 2015? Why change that dramatically?
Yeah, I did some research on the timeline when she said this, this famous statement, multiculturalism has failed. And during that time, precisely after that speech, I think it was in 2010, there is an article by the Open Societies Foundation, Soros, obviously, where they claimed that this was Nazi rhetoric and they heavily criticized her for saying that. And suddenly she flipped. Maybe this has something to do with each other.
It very well could. And of course, I always, it's kind of half a joke, but I always point out that the Fukushima nuclear reactor, the catastrophe of when it melted down and poisoned the whole ocean, was during an election in which Angela Merkel was the anti-nuclear power candidate. And so in a weird way, because there was this meltdown of a nuclear reactor in Japan, Europe got flooded with migrants. It's bizarre, but that's actually the way it worked out. And of course, again, that ties into the climate change agenda and, decommissioning all these nuclear power plants, which also is Germany's doing. I mean, as you look at Germany, what even is the future of Germany? They're shutting down their industry. They're shutting down their ability to, produce energy in any fashion. It seems like they're just committing civilizational suicide on purpose. Like, what even is there a positive vision for Germany in the future?
The future of Germany is in our hands. This is why I'm applying for asylum in America, not to escape. If I wanted to escape, then I would have just applied for a journalism visa or a green card instantly. No, I'm actually seeking protection from the United States of America because I want to expose what's going on and to free Germany, to help Germany and to help my German friends. I want a better future for my sister. I have a little sister whom I love and so much, and I just want her to have a safe future, to have a bright future where she actually feels like she can express herself, where she can pursue any goal that she wants to. She's not even political. I never wanted her to be affected by any of what I'm doing, and I'm sure it has been difficult for her because we went to the same school. She's 5 years younger than me, so she had to go to school after me, and everybody already knew about me, and there were many teachers who clearly did not like what I was doing. I'm very proud of her for going her way now. And I want to fight for Germany so that she has a good future, so that she can have children in Germany. I'm hoping the same for all the future children of Germany, because Greta Thunberg said, we stole her future.
Right.
No, you stole all these girls' futures and boys too, of course. Many men. Men especially are the most hated species of people in the world. White men. Demonized left, right, and center. That's why men are going more right wing now, because they have been failed by our system horribly. And, now women are under attack by the caliphate in Europe. Yeah, it's horrible to see, and it's very unfortunate that feminism promoted all of this and has feminized our society, because now white men no longer protect us. Because why would they? Because they are constantly demonized as far right if they do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they literally can't. I mean, you know, the number of stories where a white guy steps up to defend and he's the one that gets arrested because he, you know, yelled a bad word. In fact, I have a video, but it's not even a white guy. It's a Sikh guy, but he's being attacked by Pakistanis and the cops arrest him. It's in the UK, and that happens over and over. So is the same thing happening in Europe? Because in America, it seems like men are becoming slightly more right wing, not overly so, but certainly in the younger generations, they seem to be a lot more hardcore in their right wing beliefs, while the women seem to be going pretty far to the left. Is the same thing happening in Germany? I know the women are going left in Germany. Are the men going right?
100%. I think I'm not quite sure about the statistic, but I think I saw in the graph that it's even more extreme in Germany.
Okay.
The divide between left and right for women and men. It's very true that a lot of young men especially are standing up for the right. And the AfD is the most popular party in every demographic under 60, I believe.
Wow.
It's mostly the boomers that still vote for the CDU party because they grew up thinking that it's a conservative party. Now that it's changed so much, they just don't want to deal with being called far right, which is kind of understandable, but also we need you guys to be more courageous and actually understand what's going on. Women, they mostly vote for the left, as in Die Linke, the left party, which is an extension, an actual extension of the former SED, the former socialist party.
Wow.
The senior member of the left party, I think his name is Gürges, he was very well known in the SED, in the Socialist Party. So these are open communists, open socialists. And they are very violent too. They promote violence. Just recently they made a post, with Alice Weidel's face. And then there's a target on her face to insinuate that she should be killed. But for some reason, they're not under surveillance. That's not a problem. Why? Something is off.
Yeah, something's seriously off. And talk a little bit more about that, because you have applied for asylum. I know you met with Anna Paulina Luna. Actually, last time we talked, you were about to meet with her. So that meeting happened, right? How did that go, and what did you learn about that?
It was incredible. I did not expect it to go so fast, because she reached out to me basically just after I announced it. She was coincidentally at the same time inviting AfD members to her office, which I had nothing to do with in this case. Then she messaged me, come to my office tomorrow, bring all the evidence. It will help you. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I just thought, okay, I'll bring everything. I'll bring articles. I'll bring the surveillance documents that I got from intelligence. I'll show everything, just so that she can form an opinion. And she said, I'm going to help you fast track this. And please also, give me the names and the stories of as many Germans as possible. Tell me who else is being persecuted and why. Even if they don't want to seek asylum, because there are a lot of brave Germans who want to stay in Germany and fight there. I'm just doing this here so that I can actually break the Overton window completely and speak about things that I would probably go behind bars for in Germany, criticizing politicians mostly. She wants to hear more about these stories and bring as many Germans who are being politically persecuted to America as possible. And then in December, there's going to be an event, a meeting, where she wants to invite Alice Weidel and some other AfD members, maybe the European Parliament member Peter Bistron. I suggested him to her. He had his house raided 27 times at this point. And I spoke to him on the phone recently, and I said, wait, the last time I read about it, that was like 1 month ago. I thought it was 22. And he said, yeah, that's already a few months, a few weeks ago.
German police have raided his house like 5 times in a single month.
Oh, yeah, because they constantly accuse him of being funded by Russia, which is funny because the original claim came from Czech intelligence. He himself is Czech ethnically, and he escaped from socialism there and his family. And so he's a very proud patriot for Germany now, but he has much support over there too. And so Czech intelligence says that they have a leaked audio recording of him on the phone with Russia, where he's accepting a lot of money from them. So where is this audio recording is the question.
Right.
And he said publicly, please release it. I want the truth out there. Release the audio recording. But they didn't. They never did. They never gave it to the media. They never gave it to the Czech government even. Nobody has ever heard this audio recording. And so since then, they keep persecuting him. They did this entire smear campaign. It was a massive defamation campaign just before the EU elections.
Wow.
That's why. And then it's very interesting to know also how the media funding works. Of course, we have the state media, but then we also have all the NGO-funded media. And there's this big NGO complex called OCCRP that gets money from USAID, in the past. And a lot of it comes from Soros directly. And this OCCRP network is also connected to the German Spiegel, which is probably the most far left, but a very mainstream, very big media outlet. And they all did this massive defamation campaign against this AfD candidate in Europe. And still to this day, no evidence, not a piece of evidence. Keep raiding his house. You would imagine that at this point, they should probably find something. And I said to him on the phone, maybe just leave the door open.
Yeah.
Show them the way while you're at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, when you're raiding somebody's house 5 times in a month, you're not actually looking for anything. You're just trying to keep them unbalanced. You're trying to, you know, keep them paranoid, and it's literally just persecution at that point.
Yeah.
That's insane. 27 times the same guy. So when you're seeking asylum, is it more that activity from the state, the abuse that's coming from the state, or is it the Antifa, the violence that's happening there that happens with the sort of, you know, the state turning a blind eye to it, maybe not actively participating. Maybe they are actively participating. Is it the far left on the ground in Germany, or is it the state in Germany that poses more of a threat to you?
It's 100% the state.
Okay.
Because they are using Antifa as their soldiers against me. These people from Antifa, they see me and they see a monster, but that's not because they are born to hate me. That's because of the media brainwashing, because of the state. Of course, the threat to be killed is more imminent. But I am here to debunk what's actually going on behind the scenes. And these Antifa people, they wouldn't even think this way if it wasn't for the government, if they didn't demonize me this much, if they didn't try to ban the AfD party. Those are the actual repercussions for my country. And I care way more about my country and the future of my country than anything else.
Yeah. And it's the same thing here where Antifa acts the way it does because it knows they're not going to get in trouble. They know they're not going to get in trouble. So, you know, why shouldn't they, you know, throw rocks at the cops? It's just, you know, significantly worse in Germany. So what happened after the meeting with Anna Polina? I mean, like how far along is your asylum request?
I don't know
Just crossed the border, 4 years ago. That would have been, you could have just gotten the app and pressed asylum and you'd be here collecting checks already.
Maybe I'm too white for that. I'm not sure.
Probably so.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes now. So I have applied for asylum formally, this has all gone out. And now Anna Paulina Luna is requesting all the files from USCIS to basically then be able to fast-track the process and discuss it with other members. So, she asked me to send her more information, everything that I got, and we will see. She even said to myself, I want to help you to apply for a green card too. And that's incredible treatment. And I did not ask anyone for help. I did not beg that the U.S. government would help me. I didn't go to Elon Musk behind the scenes and tell him, please, can you please do something behind the scenes? Because I think I have a legitimate case, and I right. think my case will be taken as it is, and that's all I need.
Yeah, and that should be all you need, because, again, like we were talking about last time we interviewed you last week, the asylum program has been abused, but on the face, America should be a safe harbor for people like yourself that are under threat by your own government, your own people. Why shouldn't we be somewhere where you can come and actually speak to the people back home in their own language? Because I think that's an issue, too. Is America missing a lot of stuff from Germany because, you know, we don't speak their language? I feel like that's the case, but I don't know.
That's 100% the case, and that's the reason why they were so scared of me. I was the very first and probably the only voice in German who actually spoke in English then to the international community. But I do both. I still communicate a lot with German media and with American media too, because I want to be that bridge between Germany and America. Nobody else has done it. We only have mainstream media. We have like Guardian and Washington Post, and they every now and then report about Germany. But you're not going to have an actual direct source from Germany other than the NGO and state-funded media
right.
that give you anything of relevance, anything that is as unbiased as possible, or at the very least not completely government or just leftist-funded and promoted. Yeah.
Well, I know Americans can be a little bit solipsistic at times. We sort of care only about ourselves a lot, but I know everybody on the right wing cares a heck of a lot about what's going on in Europe and wants to help Europe reclaim its birthright and not be, you know, swamped and overwhelmed by these people that clearly hate Europe, like so many of the migrants obviously do, and brag about how they're taking it over. You know, we don't want to see that. And I think there's a lot of people in America that you're not going to have to twist their arm to want to help you. So are you planning on, well, what's your plan if you get asylum? If you achieve asylum, you're here in America, what's your plan then? Are you going to just start trying to talk to people in Germany to get them to come over here? Or like what's the next step once you achieve asylum?
No, I want to actually save, or help free, not just Germany, but Europe. And I'm connecting with a lot of other people. We got the incredible Eva Vladingerbroek from the Netherlands, for example. I've been connecting with her. There are lots of others like Martin Zellner from Austria. He's the thought leader in Austria, essentially. And we're all talking to each other because we actually have a common goal to help save Europe, to expose what's going on. Then I'm working with the German alternative media, Deutschlandkurier now, and I'm very proud to be a member and a representative for them, because I originally thought, okay, I'll stay completely independent, just be myself, yes, but at the same time, we need a movement in Germany, and we need people who come together, who connect together. They have great connections within the AfD and with a lot of people. They are close to the people, even while I'm in America, and so it's good for me to know that there's an entire movement going on in Germany that I am somehow connected to, too, and so we can influence each other, we can talk to each other, and at the same time, I also want to make it clear, I'm not planning on going into the AfD and never did. I knew that from the very beginning because I'm just mostly identify myself as a libertarian or libertarian conservative. And I want to be independent. I want people to be able to trust me that I'm never taking any money from the AfD. And that's just 100% the case. And I feel very, very honest about it.
Well, good. So how can people support you here? We have about a minute left. Obviously, they can follow you at Zype Naomi on X. How else can people support you?
That's basically it. I know that I would be banned from everything else, and I'm a proud supporter of Elon Musk's X company and X platform. So, yeah, 100% X.
So there you go. Follow her at Zype Naomi, and that's S-E-I-B-T Naomi. And we look forward to you achieving asylum here. We hope that you're granted that. I think you absolutely deserve it. And working not just to expose what's happening in Germany, but really change it. Thanks so much for being on with us today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely my pleasure. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to do a quick scene change. Ian Carroll, Ian Wynn are going to join me on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Follow Naomi on X at Zyped Naomi, and make sure to support us at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Third hour begins in 90 seconds.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, canceling time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at thealexjonesstore.com.
Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that a government shutdown might actually hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit.
Schumer and company continue to conflate, obfuscate, and outright deny the brutal impact the health care handouts to illegal aliens has had on the American people. Now utilizing their socialist EBT voting base as leverage in a game of sociopathic chicken.
The greatest hunger crisis since the Great Depression, when 42 million people lose their SNAP benefits this weekend. What are these Democrats waiting for? This is not a game. This is not leverage. They're taking food off the table for families, for babies. It's disgusting. It's time to end the madness.
But the simple numbers don't lie. Illegal immigrants accounted for $23 billion in federal medical expenditures annually, while American citizens waited in ER purgatory for basic care with little to no insurance. A 2024 FAIR study using CMS and census data pegs the yearly cost of Medicaid, CHIP, and emergency room write-offs for 15.4 million illegal immigrants at roughly $9,000 per head, tied to a broader $150 billion net fiscal burden from illegal immigration since 2021. Meanwhile, 27.1 million U.S. citizens remain uninsured, and 44% of working-age adults skip needed medical care because of cost. California's Medi-Cal expansion to 700,000 undocumented adults cost $4 billion in 2024. That was more than the state's $3.8 billion prison health care budget. Meanwhile, 1.4 million Californians lost coverage during the redetermination process through early 2024.
Think of it. They want to give away $1.5 trillion to people that come into the country illegally. And as you know, the borders now are closed. But when they hear that they get the greatest health care package in the world and they have no money, but they're living okay in another country, they head up and they start forming caravans and they try and come into our country. But the big problem is they want to give health care to people that should not get health care. They want to give health care to illegal immigrants by the millions. Look at Gavin Newsom, what he's done. He's ruined California. He gives health care to anybody.
New York City's public hospitals managed $1.47 billion in migrant expenditures in fiscal year 2023.
And so here in Illinois, we are now adding thousands a month as you have unhealthy and sick undocumented citizens from around the country, from frankly around the world, that are coming to Illinois because of the fact we are the only state that covers these individuals for total health care. And so this is something that is really creating a significant problem for our budget.
Meanwhile, wait times for U.S. veterans at VA facilities average 22 days for primary care, still too long amid a surge in demand. Congress allocated $16 billion in disproportionate share hospital payments to safety net systems where illegals could receive care, while the 46 million Americans in rural populations continue to clamor for health care that never comes. The blood money trail leads straight to the marble halls of power. Cerberus Capital, Apollo Global, and GTCR have turned the migrant healthcare crisis into a billion-dollar extraction machine, siphoning $300 million a year from ICE detention contracts alone. These vultures dumped $4.41 million into D.C. lobbying in 2025 alone, 40% to Democrats to keep the bipartisan spigot open, ensuring every illegal alien ER dump-off is a taxpayer-funded jackpot. The infrastructure? A permanent profit pipeline from the border to the boardroom. Your dialysis denied. Their dividends delivered. Don't look now. Your health care has been hijacked in broad daylight. John Bound reporting for...
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got Methylene Blue and you got Methylene Red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
You're tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I am now joined in studio by two Ians. Ian Wint, also known as I Winster. How do you pronounce that?
It's I Winster.
I Winster. Yeah. I-W-E-N-D-E-N-D-T-S-T-E-R yeah. On social media. He's a husband and a father, an entrepreneur, and a proud American First Patriot. He is the founder and CEO of Official Patriot Gear, a premium apparel company whose mission is to emphasize the importance of nonpartisan patriotism and freedom for all. They're both getting all hopped up on Methylene Blue right now. Ian well, Carroll, of course, hosts the Ian Carroll Show on YouTube and uses X to deliver the truth, much to the ire of our enemies. You can follow him at Ian Carroll Show on X. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to see you again, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Good to see both of y'all. And, yeah. Obviously, y'all have been talking about Charlie Kirk quite a bit and all the other major conspiracies in the world right now. Where are you guys landed right now on Charlie Kirk? Let's start there. Who do you think did it and why?
Man, I mean, it's all percentages of certainty, right? Because we do not know. But my percentage of certainty that it's not what they're telling us is extremely high.
Right.
Like well over 99% yeah. High. And so that leaves who did do it. And it's pretty obvious that there was more than a single actor involved. It's pretty obvious that there was some sort of conspiracy large enough that you need state level involvement of some sort, or at least like organized crime level involvement, like very skilled operation. And so that doesn't leave that many options. And it's pretty obvious when Charlie is expressing his concern that a certain nation is going to kill him, and he's speaking out about their pressure on him, and he is the paragon of
Zionist-funded influence in America up to that point, but has been questioning it largely, there's an obvious primary culprit in Israel. And I that's not to say that it's like all of Israel probably or anything like that, but for me, it seems likely that it's probably some sort of splinter group that is a coalition of forces in probably the American government and probably the FBI in some form. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing a cover-up like we're seeing.
Right.
And probably in Israeli and Zionist donor interests that might have reached all the way over to the nation of Israel. And it seems likely that they must have some sort of native Utah element as well,
right,
in order to help actually effectuate it on the ground. But we don't know for sure what that means, but we have a lot of questions. And Turning Point USA is not helping, because everything that's coming out of Turning Point USA is really weird and suspicious. So,
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody really knows. But like, what we know is that the official narrative does not make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
Not even a small part of it. All of it seems to be weird and doesn't connect the dots, and like everything from the shooter they said it was to, for me, it's just follow the money, right? So again, we don't know, but like it's like they're telling us to look at the wall and they're saying that wall is yellow, and we're like, no, that wall's blue.
Yeah.
And then that you all, you're anti-Semitic if you say the wall's blue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is I agree with both y'all. And again, it does appear as though we have some high level cover up at the FBI, which, if you're going to get that type of service from the FBI, you're not just, you know, run of the mill, criminal enterprise. You're something at the highest levels. And of course, we've seen, and it's almost like no matter who did it, something happened during his assassination. Like, and it's almost too perfect. That was a turning point of one sort or another. And we've seen Trump really go hard on Israel after that. You know, they're talking about we had to use leverage to get the peace deal that we currently have. He's making very strident statements about the West Bank. I don't know. I mean, they're correlated. I don't know if there's a causation there. But then we've seen the way that just the propaganda, the psyop, the attempt to discredit Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. And I mean, there's a panic happening. I know you guys have been like on the road and traveling, so maybe you haven't been able to watch, you know, Ben Shapiro's expose on Nick Fuentes. Did you see that?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
So
I
mean, it's just like,
it's all is on X
working?
Right now.
Do we think this is working?
No, it's radicalizing more people. It's radicalizing more kids. I mean, that's the thing, is that the elephant in the room is that Nick Fuentes' entire story started with Ben Shapiro not engaging with his ideas, but instead sabotaging his character and sabotaging his career. And then Nick Fuentes spent 10 years ostracized from the world, just getting by on his own, more or less. And, you know, make whatever you want of Nick Fuentes' story. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact that it's been 10 years and still Ben Shapiro appears to be afraid to debate him. When the obvious solution to the whole thing is, Ben, just debate the guy. Just debate him and beat him in the marketplace of ideas like you say you are a master of.
Yep.
Yeah, and also I would just say, I mean, if you want to prove to somebody that there's nothing nefarious going on, you don't do any of the things that they're doing.
Right.
Like none of them. You don't try to shut down all, you know, witnesses from the area of the 3,000 witnesses, or anybody that comes forward that's like an actual witness out of 3,000 people. You don't try to ban the cameras in the courtroom. You don't go on this massive campaign to prove your innocence. They say that the guilty scream the loudest, right? It's like every time you turn around, these people are constantly trying to vindicate themselves. And it's like, dude, if you're innocent, just don't say anything and just let people say what they want. And it'll all come out in the end, right?
Well, the problem, Ian, is that they're not innocent.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. They're not at all.
And even the ones that are innocent, we're seeing an awful lot of people that are sort of grifting on the outcome in order to present Charlie as a paragon of Israel, which, like, it's, we're not trying to, no one's trying to say that he didn't like Israel and that he was going to turn his back on Israel completely.
I am.
But, and I want to dig into that. but it's very obvious that the propaganda is completely skewing the narrative of what was really going on in Charlie's head and in the public square. And we have obvious clips from his own show, from his own life, refuting that.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the clips that came out of the Republican Jewish Coalition or whatever, you know, all these people that got together, that it was basically a massive smear campaign on Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and so all these people. Like, dude, when you get all these people together just to smear a few people, it's an obvious coordinated attack, right?
Yeah, how many millions of dollars do you think that conference cost to put on?
Exactly. But what's crazy is all of the things that they were saying, I actually made made a video today about Officer Tatum gets up and he talks about how I'm sick of people asking questions. Like, don't tell me you're just asking questions. Like, that's just ignorant. And he also says if you don't support Israel, you're either ignorant or you hate Jews. And then sure enough, if you go watch the video, the clip of Charlie Kirk, I think this is in like 2023. Now, I will admit, in 2023, he was still very pro-Israel.
Right.
But there's a clip from one of those events where he straight up says, listen, I'm not going to stop asking questions. And I've been called an anti-Semite and I've been called a Jew hater and all these different things just because I'm asking the questions. But he says specifically, he says, if there's anything we've learned through COVID and everything else, you ask questions because that's what's going to keep you free. But here you have Charlie Kirk, one of Charlie Kirk's best friends, right, who likes to sell his T-shirts after he's dead, standing up there saying, I'm tired of people asking questions. And it's like, that's not what your buddy said.
Completely unethical. All the way to what we know, yeah.
Yeah, and then even all the way up to leading to the end when he goes on the Megyn Kelly show. He said the exact opposite of what all of these pro-Zionist people are saying at this coalition.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm going to go with the guy who was asking the questions and went from here to here and ended up here ideologically, because that to me makes more sense and that to me is more genuine.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about the investigation of Kirk's assassination is that it has brought so many people together from so many different sides of the political aisle, right, because everyone with common sense that doesn't have a pony in the race, that isn't getting paid or, you know, propped up by a certain lobby, everyone sees an issue with it. Like, and for me, one of the big things watching the initial days of investigation was seeing all of the military people come out and say, that's not the bullet hole that we should see.
Right.
That's not the wound that we should see. And it's immediately obvious. And so you have a whole bunch of ex-military, ex-Green Berets, ex-medics that are just laying out the facts as they see it from their expert opinion. And that's just the start. And so it's brought all these interesting different voices that would normally not be talking into panel discussions and into like joint investigation, because even people that didn't like Charlie, like I was quite adversarial to him during life. Even people that didn't like him see what's wrong here and see that this is not just an affront to his name and his legacy and to his, like, everything he tried to do, as far as I'm aware, but it's kind of an affront to the whole American people and the whole American experiment.
Well, and it's so funny that you say that, because I went out this weekend and I had a conversation that I've had exactly the same conversation over and over. I wonder if you guys have too, where somebody goes, so, you know, what are you doing? I'm talking to two ladies and I say, well, you know, I host a show. It's, you know, about like conspiracies and stuff. And they're like, ooh, I love conspiracies. Like aliens and Bigfoot. And I'm like, I wish. I'm like, those are the fun conspiracies.
Loch Ness Monster.
No. Yeah, I'm like, it's more like
end of the world kind of stuff.
More like the powers that be are trying to enslave humanity and we're trying to stop them. But like, it's not quite as fun. But funnily enough, then this other girl goes, so like the Charlie Kirk conspiracies. And I was like, yeah, just like that. And it was just weird because, like, that, I guess,
that's the one.
Yeah, it's like, you know, instead of saying, oh, the JFK assassination or one of these, you know, or 9/11, it's like the normies out there, these girls are normies, trust me. And it was funny because then I was like, oh, have you guys been following that? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, who do you think did it? And the girl's like, I'm leaning towards Trump or his wife right now. And I was like, you don't think it was Israel? And she was like, oh, I hadn't heard that one. I'm like, I don't know where you're getting your information from.
What platform are you on?
It's weird, but clearly it's broken through the conspiracy containment wall and has entered into the normieverse, and people are, you know, questioning this. And this is obviously a very big, you know, point of research and contention, and people are having discussions about this. So, I mean, they failed to contain this conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think that is exactly what you said. I mean, I've said this, and, you know, while Charlie Kirk wasn't a presidential candidate or a president or whatever, like, we just witnessed our modern day JFK.
Right.
I mean, with all the different inconsistencies, with all the different stories that don't add up, with the multiple organizations and people and groups that seem to be in on this or potentially in on this, we're watching that, I think, that size of a conspiracy play out in front of us.
Yeah.
And it's the exact reason why they coined conspiracy theory during JFK, right? So, like, now is the new term anti-Semitic, that if you question this question, like, you're just an anti-Semite for questioning why this guy was killed or how he's killed or who.
A lot of similarities there between the creation of the term conspiracy theorist and the creation of the term anti-Semite. Very true. Any other similarities between the JFK assassination and the Charlie Kirk one?
About 5 million.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's start with the magical bullet that can kill a moose, that can go through and through an elk and is instead stopped by a little bit of flesh in his neck, apparently.
Yeah.
And we get conflicting reports about they found the bullet, they didn't find the bullet, the bullet was fragmented, the bullet wasn't fragmented. All these, it's like,
where he shot from, how he assembled the gun, did he disassemble gun, did he put it in his pants, was he wearing different clothes? Like, dude, I mean, he spotted in Dairy Queen, and then he went and got gas 30 miles away for no reason, and then he came home, and then he went to dinner, and he turned himself into his dad. Like,
it's weird. It's all very weird.
When you say it like that, it literally seems like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. And there's a number of things that the thing about it is that there's so much video, and we would expect more video. It's a little weird that we don't have more from such a big event, but there is a lot of video, and video, we can pretty well tell that it's not all AI video. Like, right. it's cell phone video. And when you have events on video, that's a real event that happened, and every single thing you see has to have an explanation.
Right.
And there are numerous things that are clearly caught on video, some of them literally released by the federal government, by the FBI, that are completely unexplainable. That are not only are like, I have questions, but are unexplainable, that do not fit any rational version of the mainstream FBI narrative that they're trying to push.
Well, like what? Are you thinking like how he broke down the gun, stuff like that?
No, like the first one that comes to mind is that the FBI released video of the shooter running and jumping off the roof as though like, look, this is our guy and we're looking for him. But we clearly know, and I've been to that campus and seen it for myself, that video camera has direct line of sight to where the shot was taken from, allegedly. And so the FBI thought that they would cut the video after the shot was taken, about 3 seconds after the shot was taken, and not show us clearly this man took the shot, but instead just show him running and jumping off the roof.
Right.
As one example.
The other thing is, as you watch the video, you can see people's reaction, and they're not, when the shot goes off, they're not turning towards the place where the FBI is saying that he was shot from. Mm. And on top of that, you have all of the detractors, right? All the people who, was there like two guys, I think, that stood up that said, it's me, or whatever, and tried to like pull the attention away.
Yeah.
It was directly in front of him.
Mm.
And so, there's so many things that don't add up. The letter that went to my lover, and now, by the way, he's just disappeared. Nobody knows where he went. This transgender roommate
Twigs,
or whatever.
Twigs, yeah.
Then you have Kash Patel, thwarting an investigation into,
foreign involvement.
He's busy going to see his girlfriend perform at concerts, bro. He's got shit to do.
But his girlfriend's not a Mossad agent.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. 100%,
I would also add one more thing that's caught on video that is striking, but is not obvious to the average human. The average person, because most people are not trained in how to deal with a gunshot wound. But I have spoken to many, and there, you can go on YouTube and look up Green Berets and combat medics talking about these things. And even I have the level of medical training to understand it, that we have video of Charlie's security team definitively not treating a gunshot wound, not treating an arterial bleed. If you have an arterial bleed like this, you need to, within seconds, clamp that arterial bleed by stuffing your hands in there and clamping it by whatever means necessary. Then you need to pack that wound. You cannot move a person's body to a hospital while they're bleeding out of an artery.
Right.
And that's just the first layer, because they're going to die within a minute or two from the arterial bleed if you don't treat that wound. But we also have a spinal injury, and you don't move a person with a spinal injury without securing their spine in a very specific way that I am trained to do. And that's not a high level of training. And so these are ex-military bodyguards that should be explicitly trained in how to do this. And instead of treating Charlie Kirk's wounds at all properly, they rush his body off with no attention to either of these wounds I just mentioned, and shove him into an SUV, and then drive off to a hospital that we have questions about a little bit.
Right.
So.
And then you also have to consider the fact that I posted about this because I had an insider who was there on the ground that day, and he confirmed, along with a lot of other people, that Charlie's security detail purposely did not want to coordinate with campus police or local PD.
Mm.
They purposely did not want to. So it's like, why? That's, to me, that's really weird. And again, I don't know a whole lot about like executive protection or whatever, but everybody I've talked to, buddies who have been in executive protection, buddies who have been in security, every single one of them have said, number one, it is super weird that they didn't want more backup. Number two, it is super weird that they didn't, do a better job of vantage points, right? And then number three, apparently a lot of the blame was being placed on local PD and the officers that were there. But every one of my buddies that have been in executive protection said, no. The blame 100% falls on Charlie's security detail.
Right.
Because they're like, if I was the one in charge of that, number one, I would have looked for those vantage points and I would have said, hey guys, look, I don't like this.
Right.
I don't like how many roofs are here. I don't like how close they are. And then on top of that, if something happened, I would feel guilty for it.
Right.
So when you consider all of these things, it's just like, We're not saying what happened, but like, yeah, it's just
that is just the day of, right?
Exactly.
And there's plenty more the day of.
Everything that follows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and it's important to note too at this, at like in this conversation that I think, I speak for myself, but I think a lot of people that are trying to commentate on this would probably agree that we don't want to talk about this. We don't want to be in the situation. We don't want this to have ever happened.
No.
We don't want to this for this to be the story that we have to cover.
Right.
That's not good.
But we want the truth.
It's awful.
But
the fact that it happened, it's up to the American people to get to the bottom of it, because this is not just about one right-wing commentator being killed, although that is super tragic and should be explored to the depths of the truth. But it's about like the entire American experiment and ideal, and it's about free speech, and it's about who controls our government right now. Because if we're not getting an adequate, let alone a exceptional investigation into this, Charlie Kirk got Trump elected. Charlie Kirk was their boy. And if that administration is not going to investigate this with every resource as thoroughly as possible, but instead is we have the chief of the FBI shutting down investigations that are very legitimate into foreign actors, that kind of stuff just screams cover up to us.
Yeah. So yeah. What is up with Cash Patel? What do you think? Because, you know, he'll come out and go, guys, don't worry. We're looking into it. The plane, we're looking into this. We're looking into. And then he's writing this essay about his country music sensation girlfriend who's nobody's ever heard of a song she's ever sung. So, I mean, what is going on with this guy? I don't want to throw him under the bus, but what the hell?
I'll throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
He covered up the Epstein files blatantly.
Seriously.
after
campaigning on it.
Making money off of his podcast, his conspiracy podcast, all about what he would do to expose Epstein.
I don't think people know that. I don't think a lot of people know that Cash Patel had a literal podcast that was based on conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
he went on the Sean Ryan show, and that's all he talked about.
Yeah, and he explained exactly how he would declassify all the files and take them all down. And then instead, we get the most blatant cover-up that is not even half-assed. It is zero-assed. And so that's
like the
most start.
Boomer
that's
cover-up
the And then we get to this investigation, and not only is Cash dodging and weaving and shutting things down, but now we have this whole scandal about his girlfriend and his plane that is absolutely abhorrent. And it is embarrassing to the American people and to the office of the FBI for him to be writing this type of tweet about his girlfriend, and for that to be at all the conversation right now, for him to be flying on his private FBI jet to go see her at and then to fire the person that was in the FBI that kind of exposed it. Like, bro,
not
embarrassing.
Not swamp activity.
Not to mention, you have him standing, I don't even remember when this was, but he was in the White House, and he literally called everybody that's asking questions about this conspiracy theorist.
Right.
He literally said that. He's like, we're done with these conspiracy theories. I'm like, bro, what? You literally ran an entire podcast about conspiracy theories, and this show, the Sean Ryan show, like, you talked about it. You talked about how all of these things needed to be declassified. So now you're going to tell me that you get in there and you're just like, it's all normal. And by the way, where's David Harris Jr.? Like, wasn't there a point in time where David Harris Jr. was actually saying that he was going to leave, that he was going to step down at the very beginning? And then all of a sudden it was like, just kidding, I'm coming back. I wonder if maybe he saw something and was like, ooh, I'm out, I can't do this. And then they were like, nope, you're already in, buddy.
So what do you think is the mechanism for control? Because clearly, I mean, there's, you know, it would be comical if it wasn't so real, where it's like, they're like, we're going to do this, we're going to, and then it's just like, all right, come back here to this room. And then 5 minutes later, they come out just like, there's nothing to see. Everything is good.
Right.
Everything is normal. Stop asking
questions.
It's like
MK Ultra stuff, dude.
It's like,
did you just get put in a chair and like, I don't know, winter soldiered?
I genuinely do not know, man. Because I think as regular people, it's impossible to believe that there's some mechanism in place in the American government at the highest level of law enforcement that you can get a new director of the FBI can like walk into a room and they can say, we're going to kill your kids if you don't. Like, that is unbelievable that would be happening. But it's hard to square his 180 with any other type of like blackmail or threat situation, unless you're thinking about maybe there's like then you're talking Q stuff where it's like there's some like next level threat where they have this intel and you have to go along with this. It's like, dude, that does not make sense either. So I genuinely don't know. But the 180 happened and we all have watched it. And so there has to be an explanation, and that gets to some pretty dark areas pretty dang quick.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
I always go back to, I mean, you know, it is the age old thing, but like when you're considering conspiracy theories, it's always literally follow the money.
Yeah.
100%.
Because at the end of the day, who stands to gain the most money from the situation that's happening right now? And, you know, when you consider, again, not saying this is what's happening, nobody knows, but we're absolutely asking the questions because that's what Charlie wanted, right? But like when you look at Turning Point, when you look at the donors they were losing and now the donors they seem to have gained and all of the momentum that they've gained and all the extra chapters and all these other things, right? And all the notoriety of the organization, I think is way bigger. And then you also consider everything that's happened with Israel and with the Greater Israel Project. And by the way, the real Gaza Riviera project, because that's not fake. Yeah, that's absolutely real.
Actually, I got a video on that.
They turned the place into a parking lot, and now they're building it into a luxury tourist destination. I look at that, and I'm like, I think there were multiple actors, but for me, it's the people that stood to gain the most.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not calling Cash's girlfriend a Mossad agent, but she certainly worked for Prager University, which is run by a Mossad agent.
She did grow up in Hollywood and was a child actress.
And not to mention the founder of PragerU apparently is totally okay with kiddie porn. I don't know if we want to, you know, mention that one.
As long as it's animated, yeah.
Yeah, animated kiddie porn is totally not evil.
That was such an awkward thing to watch.
Yeah,
oh my
dude,
gosh.
It's very weird.
Yeah, that to me was the nail in the coffin for PragerU.
But, and yeah, that was Dennis Prager, but then the woman who runs it, Melissa Strait, right, she literally came out of 8200, so it's literally an Israeli psyop, and Cash Tell's girlfriend works for it. More on the other side. More tantalizing information. Stay tuned.
I just recommend the people personal relationship with God, praying to God, saying, I want to be good. I want to recognize truth. I want to know what truth is. I want to open myself up to you. I'm an imperfect. I repent for what I've done. I want you to cleanse me and then show me the truth and then show me how to be a better person and then show me after that what the mission is you have for me. And literally, if you do that through a process, it may take days, may take months, may take years, then the adventure begins. And then all of a sudden you're being given like intel and stuff, like, and like literally just, you have to learn to go with it. It's never wrong. And it's God and it's there and it's your personal relationship. And then obviously people get this relationship. They all want to teach other people it. And God says get together in groups. That's great. But Christ didn't try to go get the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest class to join him. He said their minds were closed. He went to the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the robbers, the thieves, because they were already outcasts. But that's where he found people that were already under evil's control but weren't arrogant about it, who were looking for a way out. And so, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to, is a spiritual relationship with God. And there are some real churches and things.
But don't you find that? I know I have found that. You see sparks of this in the most unlikely people. If you put a list on paper of the people in your life, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but who you really trust, or you talk to and you groove with them and they like know exactly what you're saying. You know, they are on the same wavelength in some deep way. It's not the people you would expect. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. Most people get into media because they want to be movie stars. Most people become a preacher because they want to, you know, because they want to be famous and have power. And then you'll find like it's the most just normal, unassuming person that has all this great knowledge.
Yes.
Because they already have all the power. They don't need power. And so it's just
they're connected to God's power. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's quite the quest because so many people are lost and really it's an inside job. They've got to somehow open up the channel to God. And then they'll see everything that's happening. And then God will give them a message and a mission of what they should do. And I don't want to say all churches are bad, because there's a lot of good people in the churches regardless. It's just that the last 120 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ecumenical movement, and all of that has really moved into the churches. We see that with all the rainbow flags and all, you know, the famous cathedrals in England now festooned with all the leftist, you know, graffiti and garbage. I mean, it's been captured, is my point.
God is gay.
But people can't get turned off by that and say, well, God's dead. No, no. Satan has occupied the so-called temples. But God isn't in the temple. God is inside us.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones.
quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, final segment on this Monday edition of The War Room for the 3rd of November, 2025. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us in our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. It's 25% off all products right now, site-wide, on top of the other huge deals. Ultramethylene Red, all supplements, all shirts, hats, and hoodies are all 25% off right now. You guys just took some of the methylene blue. Is that your first time testing out some?
I didn't get to try any, but I'm going to in a minute.
You got to try some. Yeah.
I know.
We'll get you rolling for poker night later.
Yeah. Sounds good. Very fun.
I'm in.
Yep.
So yeah, please do support us. It's thealexjonesstore.com. With me in studio are Ian Wendt. You can follow him on X at iWendster, iWendtster. And Ian Carroll is on X as well at Ian Carroll Show. And I actually want to go to this video. What was the video I was about to go to? I was about to show y'all something. Oh yeah, this one, because we were talking about Israel and the Gaza war and where we sort of ended up here. Let's go to clip number 34. Watch this. Get your take on the other side. This is Smotrich, Bezalel Smotrich.
Dude, his name is just—it like,
sounds demonic. Like a demon, I know. I know. It's like you couldn't write it if you tried. Yeah. But here's a statement he recently made about, you know, what's next for Gaza. Let's watch.
Criticism mounts some new comments. Israel's far-right finance minister could fuel tensions as well.
Bezalel Smotrich says negotiations are currently underway to divide Gaza and describes the battered enclave as, quote, a real estate bonanza. Listen to Smotrich describe the plan in his own words.
I admit, I didn't expect this. Just so you know, it's not funny. There is a business plan. Listen to me carefully. There's a business plan set by the most professional people there is and is on President Trump's table, and how this thing turns into a real estate bonanza. I'm not kidding. It pays off. I've started negotiations with the Americans. I say this not jokingly now because I also demand. We paid a lot of money for this war, so we need to divide how we make a percentage on the land marketing later in Gaza. And now, no kidding, we've done the demolition phase, which is always the first phase of urban renewal. Now we need to build. It's much cheaper.
Yeah, usually demolition happens without the people inside the building, but I guess that's, you know, details here. So, you know, this reminds me of, I'm sure y'all saw the video when, what's his name, Witkoff and Kushner were being interviewed, and Witkoff seems like he kind of let it slip. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been working on this for 2 years. So, yeah. So let me get
Kushner
y'all's
goes
reaction
like this.
To that. Yeah. Kushner's like, well,
he's like an amateur move.
What
bro.
Did you say?
Yeah. So what do y'all think? And then, you know, we have this other clip from Trump basically saying that he forced this on him. You can hear Bezalel Smotrich at the beginning there says, you know, oh, you know, we didn't really want this, but now we're making the most of it. I mean, there he is saying that Gaza is going to be prime real estate. So what's your take on that?
You want me to go? I listening to that. I genuinely dropped my jaw. Like,
yeah.
He literally says, first it comes the demolition and then comes building. Like, you're not even hiding what you're doing.
Yeah.
You literally.
Well, cause he's speaking in Hebrew.
Yeah. Cause he thinks that, yeah. It's just, it's wild to me. But the way I look at this is, I hate where we are going to come out as Americans, because I think what a lot of people are not considering is how the rest of the world is going to view us when we go right in there and we build luxury hotels and pools and AI smart cities and all these different things on the literal bodies of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other human beings that were simply living.
Yeah.
That were just existing. And we not only allowed that to happen, we sponsored it, we funded it, and now we're building on top of their bodies.
And profiting off of
all of it. Yeah. And how is the rest of the world going to look at America when that happens? And
Honestly, my jaw did not drop when I watched it, and how the world, rest of the world is going to look at Americans is actually pretty much exactly how they already look at Americans, because this is actually the pattern of the American empire for most of the American empire. And I'm not saying that America is evil. I'm saying that American as an empire is actually the bankers that control the world that have been sponsoring both sides of every war since at least World War II, but probably World War I, profiting off of both sides and then profiting off the rebuilds and then sending out the CIA and intelligence agency jackals to enforce the hegemony around the world. And so it's not a new pattern. And a lot of people all around the world have actually already experienced this type of abuse and violence from America as an empire. And a lot of the world already views us this way. This is just a reminder that we're still up to the same old tricks.
Yeah, it's just the cherry on top of the cake.
It'd be worth saying that just like when we criticize the American government and this American deep state, essentially, this globalist deep state in a lot of ways, we're not saying that America as a concept is bad. America as a concept is beautiful. America as a concept is the only reason why we have any opportunity to speak up against it. And in the exact same way, when we say Israel is doing evil things, well, we in a lot of ways say the Israeli government is evil, but actually there's all these clips that surface of Israeli citizens doing the most atrocious things to help support this violence and to essentially be a part of this brainwashed culture that thinks that they are on the right side of this when we are essentially all watching like a Holocaust happen on live TV.
Yeah.
And then we're watching them brag about the business deals and the profit that they're going to make off the back of that. Like at least in the Holocaust that like all the American corporations that profited off the Holocaust, at least they hid the fact that they had kind of been using the forced labor in these camps over there and they kind of covered it all up and didn't really want us to know about it. But now it's just out in the open.
Yeah. Well, and they're even talking about, I believe in the plans, they talk about how they're going to either going to allow the Palestinians to relocate or they're going to give them digital tokens to live on.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, what?
Hey, it's always been a pilot project. The West Bank is the number one testing ground for tech and surveillance.
Palantir, and that's where all that stuff comes in, and that's why I have a lot of issues with the current administration, because it just seems like it's been very co-opted into this like crazy dystopian technocratic, you know, government rule. And we are just slow walking into this AI surveillance system that's going to create the scariest, you know, make the Patriot Act look like child's play.
Yeah. Well, and we're already seeing that. And, this article, U.S.-run Gaza Riviera, post-war redevelopment plan sees voluntary relation of millions.
Ethnic cleansing.
That's let's just rewrite that one.
But you know, that was from, the 1st of September. So this agreement came after that. And, you know, as far as I can tell, this was not what Israel wanted. And that's what Trump is saying. But just to emphasize what you guys are saying, I read this earlier from the Gray Zone, AI drones used in Gaza now surveilling American cities. So the company that was running surveillance drones in Gaza is currently contracted in like 50 U.S. cities patrolling and watching the protests there. So, yeah, Gaza has always been a testing ground. I made a video all the way back in 2023 saying Gaza is the world's first 15-minute city. Talking about how you have to get permission to move anywhere and just, you know, total destitution, regardless of, you know, your ambition. There's no money. There's no resources. There's no nothing. But clearly this is not what Israel wanted. Israel wanted Gaza to be theirs. They wanted to annex it completely. They wanted all the Palestinians exported to Canada or the U.S. or Europe. That's not what's happening here. And even from J.D. Vance, when he was taking questions at the TPUSA event, people asked him about it. And he said, well, to get the peace deal done, we had to use leverage against Israel, saying Trump is one president not controlled by Israel. We have this story that just broke minutes ago while we were on air, actually. Trump boasts he pushed Netanyahu into Gaza ceasefire in a candid reveal. I understand we have this on video from ZeroHedge.com, but it's posted on InfoWars as well. Let's go to this video and then try to square this, because it doesn't seem like Israel got what it wanted with Gaza, but it seems like they're still, you know, gung-ho about making it into Riviera, the seaside, you know, real estate. So I can't really tell, you know, who's winning here. Let's go to Trump saying that he basically had to force the ceasefire onto Gaza, Israel, rather. Let's watch.
He's fine. Look, he's a wartime prime minister. I worked very well with him. Yeah, I mean, I had to push him a little bit one way or the other. I think I did a great job in pushing him. He's a very talented guy. He's a guy that has never been pushed before, actually.
that's the kind of person you needed in Israel at the time. It was very important. I don't think they treat him very well. He's under trial for some things, and I don't think they treat him very well. I think it's, you know, we'll be involved in that to help him out a little bit, because I think it's very unfair. I did. I pushed him. I didn't like certain things that he did, and you saw what I did about that. I also stopped, you know, we knocked the hell out of Iran, and then it was time to stop, and we stopped.
So there he says, I pushed him. You know, previously he has made very strident remarks saying the West Bank settlements are not going to expand. Now those are expanding regardless of what he's saying, but
yeah.
Still, even just to make the statement was sort of a unique, instance in the history of American presidents. So, I mean, what do y'all?
That's some massive ass cuck behavior.
Yeah. So?
Trump has all the leverage in the world. We fund that nation to the tune of many, many, many billions of dollars. The only leverage we don't have is a blackmail sex pedophile ring. We don't have that one, but you know, that one appears to count for a lot.
Yeah. Might explain why the cuck behavior, Ian.
Exactly. Because there's no excuse for this level of cuckery where if Trump were to say that we should have this deal, that should be the bottom line and there should be no question about it. And there should be every bit of leverage on the table if Israel was just a small country in the Middle East.
Right.
But the blood libel that you aren't allowed to say is that Israel is not just a small country in the Middle East. Israel is a network of Jewish Zionist donors all across the world that have funded Trump's campaign, that funded Charlie Kirk's entire organization, that funded basically every right-wing media organization in America, and that will cancel you, slander you, and maybe even more to you if you speak out against it, particularly if you come from the inside like Charlie Kirk did.
And they are currently buying up Google, YouTube, AI, VPNs, they own TikTok. Like I can't see that any other way than Ian said. I mean, it's absolute cuck behavior. And not only that, it's like, it's atrocious based on everything that we actually know about Bibi Netanyahu, based on everything we know about his crimes. And also, it's no different for me than Trump standing up and saying, I gave him weapons. You know, I gave him all these different weapons and he knew how to use them and he used them well. It's like, bro.
And so, I mean, going back to what you said at the start of this segment here, Harrison, why is it that, like, Israel doesn't seem to have wanted this ceasefire? And Bezalel Smotrich speaking about sort of his take on it and all that. And it's important to remember that the crimes that Trump just spoke about, we're going to help him out with this trial and his crimes. Those are corruption crimes and they are very real. And the evidence is out there and you can watch the BB Files, a documentary that exposes it all. And the moment that war stops, Benjamin Netanyahu is probably going to prison in Israel for those crimes.
And he
Israel
knows that.
Has put prime ministers and presidents and high level executives in the government into prison for far less before. And those crimes, like, they are extremely serious. And so the reason why Bezalel Smotrich is in the Israeli government is because Netanyahu got voted out. And the only way that he got back in was by allying with the most far-right extremist coalition of groups that were not taken seriously at all before then in the Israeli government because they were so extreme. And now the Israeli government, which has been running this war,
yeah.
They are the most extreme party you've ever seen, or at least lately, in Israel. And I think that that's where what those people wanted is a far more religious concept. What those people wanted is God's chosen people having God's promised land, and they wanted nothing less. But what's they're having to settle for is just, okay, we'll all just make a lot of money with a more rational, fucked up, psychotic version of events.
Yeah, because right. It's like, we already got away with doing the violence. We already got away with completely freaking ruining these people and turning their home into an ashtray. So, you know, we got away with that. Let's just kind of, I think everybody's just settling at this point, including Trump. I think Trump is also just kind of settling because, again, I'm on Ian's side. I think that there is a massive blackmail going on, and it's not necessarily just because of Epstein or whatever. They have something on Trump and the people around him. That is truly what I believe. That is just my opinion. It is not fact, but my opinion is that is truly what is causing Trump to be such a cuck. I mean, straight up, to be willing to make those decisions.
It is worth mentioning that Israel is the only nuclear armed nation that doesn't have to
disclose them. Yeah,
and they
have
not signed any nuclear treaties. And, you know, there is a book called The Samson Option that you could read if you wanted to learn a little bit about the history of that nuclear program.
And I actually said that at the beginning, you know, I said, to me, that is one of the most likely scenarios, is that option is actually being held over Trump's head. Because at the end of the day, if that was the truth, right, what would you do as Trump? I mean, if they basically said, hey, look, you're either going to play ball or this is your option. And it's like,
Especially when you know when you know that Israel is by far the world's number one assassinator, and they have a long, well-documented history of political assassinations all across the world in other countries.
Yes.
And Trump is in no way immune to those assassinations. It's ridiculous for people to even suggest that it's a conspiracy theory to suspect Israel when there's a high-level political assassination, because when there is a high-level political assassination, Israel is the number one suspect by default because they have done it more than anyone else, and they are better at it than anyone else, and it's not easy to do.
Yep.
And so it's like, no, you're the conspiracy theorist for thinking anything else, because I'm reading the history books, and when you see a pattern all across history, that's reading. It's called reading.
Right. Pattern recognition.
And it's the whole idea of, like, at what point are there too many coincidences to be a coincidence? Like, how many dots do you have to connect to be able to say, okay, something's going on and it has to do with this country because for some reason the country keeps popping up in these 15 places surrounding this one event?
Yeah.
And now we see the MAGA coalition. We see the MAGA coalition letting the Republican the Republican Party fracture into 1,000 pieces around the Israel question rather than just put America first.
It's not even, okay, this is the thing though. I hate when people are saying this. It's not even the Republican Party. It is the America First movement. Okay, and the America First movement, say what you want to say, it's made up of MAGA, it's made up of, you know, more,
the MAHA,
it's made up of the, not independents, but what's the word I'm looking for? Republican, Democrat, and libertarians. Like, it's all of these people that just simply want America first, that just simply want to start focusing on
or at least it's made up of all the people that we thought wanted to put America first.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. And so now what's happening is it's splintering because I believe what you're actually seeing is you're seeing patriots versus loyalists.
Yeah, yeah.
You're seeing the people that are willing to continue to stay loyal to their party, loyal to the people, even though they're acting completely in the opposite of their interests and their values, which that's what you vote on, right? When you vote based on your values and you vote based on what you think is going to be best for you and the country and your people. And yet you have these people that refuse to switch lanes on that simply because of their loyalism. And then you have the people that are like, no, this is what I want as an American. This is what I want for my people. And this is what has not happened. And so I'm going to fight to have that because that's what I want as an American, as an America First patriot. So what you see is that. I believe, Harrison, you see America First patriots versus America Last loyalists.
Yeah, the Zionist faction. I completely agree. And yeah, obviously, as we've pointed out, you know, the America First contingent being anti-Israel might be part and parcel with the rest of the nationalistic concerns we have, but that's not how we define ourselves. It's not the pro-Israel versus the anti-Israel. It's the Israel first versus America first. And, you know, part of the frustration that I know is causing the right to splinter around Israel is the fact that we're not getting what we voted for. We're not seeing the attention paid to the things that we got Trump elected for.
We're seeing the opposite of
the exact opposite.
Yeah. So, you know, it's almost like if I'm going to give advice to Israel, it'd be like, if you want us to stop talking about Israel, you got to use all your influence you have to make America great. Make us great.
Seriously, flip the Hasbara campaign.
We won't even care about what Israel's up to.
Do you know what they're doing with all of their money? Instead, they're hosting all of these conferences in America, just like a bunch of Jewish conferences in America, which is like we just had this one that's blowing up all over X, and it makes you wonder, wait, how many conferences do we have in America every single freaking year that are like literally just Israel conferences masquerading as America First? So I looked up a list of how many in 2024, how many Jewish-aligned, Israel-aligned Zionist conferences did we have? And the answer is we had conferences from AIPAC, J Street, AJC, ADL, Jewish Federation of North America, ZOA, Tikva Fund, Hadassah, JCPA. And it totaled out to at least 12 major pro-Jewish Zionist political conferences in America last year.
That didn't even list the ones I know about, the Jewish News Syndicate, the one that we just talked about, the Republican Jewish Coalition. You have the Jewish Congress.
Don't forget all of the ones coming out of TPUSA and CPAC.
But guys, it's a conspiracy theory that this country is involved in our country and trying to control our politicians. Come on.
Yeah, we're just trying to live our lives over here and not pay taxes to pedophiles. It's really that simple. It's not a high bar.
It really is crazy.
Speaking of which, our government's still shut down, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. It's still, but we're somehow still paying the benefits to the people who don't work. So it's like only the good stuff is shut down. All the bad stuff continues unabated. That seems how it works. We're still starting a war in Venezuela while the rest of the country is shut down.
Boots on the ground in Venezuela. Did I hear that right?
It's not there yet, but it sure looks like it. And hey, Venezuela is not with the banking system. It's real frustrating that Venezuela doesn't have a BIS bank. Those assholes.
How dare they?
Every single time by not having a bank.
Follow the money.
Well, and you know, I saw somebody today saying, yeah, Putin is looking at the Venezuela issue. And I thought, hey, aren't we kind of doing to Venezuela what we say Russia did to Ukraine? Like this country that's sort of minding its own business when the bigger superpower comes in and starts kicking them around? So isn't that exactly what we accused Russia of doing?
Yeah. And going back just a little bit of a backtrack when you were talking about how, you know, we just kind of want to be left alone and like we want Israel to make us great again or whatever. It's not only that we're being shamed and we're being called anti-Semites and everything else for just questioning Israel and questioning what they're doing and questioning their influence. But on top of that, we're being shamed for doing the exact same thing that we did when it came to Ukraine.
Right.
Yep. Like and all was, of us that was did, MAGA, 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 MAGA.
Seriously, all of the biggest like MAGA influencers that are now attacking all of us, they did the same damn thing when it came to Ukraine, but it's okay because it was with the Democrats.
Well, Ukraine is not God's chosen people.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Wow. That's up for debate too, actually. If you want to get right down to it.
It blows my mind that the debate about God's chosen people never points out the fact that if God has chosen people, then other people are lesser. Like you might even say 3/4 of a person, for example. And that just does not sound very somehow Christian God, or American
and,
in my mind.
Yeah. And somehow God's chosen people don't believe in God's only begotten son. That's weird to me. I don't know, man.
It's all very bizarre. Clearly we're trafficking in, you know, age-old anti-Semitic tropes here. That's what's so funny to me. Yeah, it's just like nobody who's arrived where we are now, which I assume I can speak for all of us, when it's like we genuinely don't. I don't hate Israel. I definitely don't hate Jewish people in the slightest. I just want them to stop. I just really, really, really want them to stop. But it always goes back to them like you're believing Hamas propaganda or you're following old tropes about blood libels from the Middle Ages. And it's like, or I'm just watching the news. Like I don't need anybody to spoon feed me this information. I can see it for myself and come to my own conclusions. But it always has to be, you know, we're being tricked by Hamas somehow.
I mean, at this point, you don't even have to watch the news because every day the attacks directly at us for just exercising our free speech in America is like,
enough.
That is enough to turn a lot of people anti-Semitic all on its own. It's like we have to wake up every day and try not to become anti-Semitic because of the way that these people are treating us, foreigners from another country, let alone the American citizens that are loyal to
it. I feel that exact same way. Sorry to cut you off. Where it's like, you're not going to make me hate you. I don't hate. I love everyone and you're not going to change my mind.
But
you really have to
so
be that
hard
way.
Every
but
day.
It's the same game plan, dude. I said this the other day too, right? Just think about COVID. Anti-vaxxer, anti-Semitic.
Mm.
COVID denier, Jew hater.
Right.
It's the same game plan.
All semantic games.
And it all comes down to, it's like I told you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like I told you, my buddy Bobby, what he said, he's like, it was something to the effect of like, I get on the news during, like, get, you want to pull it up? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's probably better. I'll try to quote him.
I had it up, but it's what we always say.
Shout out to Bobby, dude.
It's, you know, people say we're obsessed with Israel. It's like we're literally just responding to the deluge of constant Israel worship
all day
that
long.
We're getting, yeah.
Yes. And it's worth mentioning too that Israel just recently multiplied their propaganda budget 20x, 20 right. times the propaganda budget. And Netanyahu had a on video camera meeting with American social media influencers where he told them this is warfare, and the most important part of that warfare is TikTok, and the second most important part is X, and we need to use all the weapons of warfare in those battlefields to win the war, meaning to target American citizens with Israeli propaganda. And now we have things like FAR registrations showing us exactly how they're doing it, how much money they're paying to specifically target Christian churches in America on the West Coast,
which is also
by geofencing and tracking all the phones of people attending
which
church.
Was also weirdly tied to Turning Point USA.
Absolutely.
That was kind of weird how that happened, right?
Yeah, and it's just a small
Charlie Kirk Memorial
system that has been happening for decades. It's been happening since before I was born. And that's why so many people were not awake to it before, because it's like a fish swimming through water. But suddenly the water's all gone. No one can drink. We can't eat. We can't even afford our house. Like we can't afford anything. And we're sitting there flopping around like, what the hell is
going on? And meanwhile, while all that's happening, all these people are just constantly calling you anti-Semitic and calling you a Jew hater. And it's like, when did I start hating Jews?
Right.
Like, this is news to me. Yeah. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate, like, but when did this happen?
And in a weird way, they want you to. They want to be proven right, right?
100%.
And of course, that's why it's always, as Josh Hammer puts it, your DNA is anti-Semitic, right?
Yeah,
there's anti-Semitism in your DNA, because if that's the truth, then they don't have to worry about any of their own behavior or anything that made, you know, people turn against them. It was in their DNA. It just hadn't been expressed yet. It was like a disease. So
well, it's the same. What is that term when they were teaching kids about racism when they were like 10 or whatever? What was that called? I forget what the term was.
But yeah, where they would say you're internalized racism.
Yeah,
internalized.
Teaching little white boys that they're just racist because they're white. I forget what the name of that term was. But that's the exact same thing, right? Yeah. It's like you're inherently racist because of this. And it's like, no, that's not true at all.
Well, Josh Hammer is on record on Twitter basically saying that all white people are inherently racist, and that would include his buddy Charlie Kirk, his really good friend Charlie Kirk.
It's weird how they all call Charlie Kirk the exact thing that they're yelling at all of us about, right?
It's pretty awkward.
It's pretty strange. This is the post from Bobby Sauce at Bobby Sauce Alito on X.
Shout out, Bobby.
Nearly every person, every single day. Israel. Everyone else. We should focus on America. We're kind of broke. Them. Why do you hate Jews? Wow, we're already out of time. This flew by. Ian and Ian, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Harrison.
Shoot, man.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to theoliveshowstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Olive Shows Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheOliveShowStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at thealexjonesstore.com.